ಪಶುಪಾದ ಪರಮಹಂಸ ಪರಿಪ್ರಾಜಕಾಚಾರ್ಯ ಅಷ್ಟೋತ್ತರ ಶತಶ್ರೀ ಶ್ರೀಮಾನ್ ಅಭಯಚರಣಾರವಿಂದ ಭಕ್ತಿವೇದಾಂತ ಗೋಸ್ವಾಮಿ ಮಹಾರಾಜ ಶೀಲ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದಕಿ ಜಯಂ ತಿರಿಲಾ ಪ್ರವಿಷ್ಟ ವಿಶ್ವಪಾದ ಪರಮಹಂಸ ಪರಿಪ್ರಾಜಕಾಚಾರ್ಯ ಅಷ್ಟೋತ್ತರ ಶತಶ್ರೀ ಶ್ರೀಮಾನ್ ಭಕ್ತ ಸಿದ್ಧಾಂತ ಸರಸ್ವತಿ ಮಹಾರಾಜ ಶೀಲ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದಕಿ ಅನಂತಗೋಡಿ ವೈಷ್ಣವ ವೃಂದಕಿ ನಾಮಾಚಾರ್ಯ ಶ್ರೀ ಹರಿದಾಸ್ ಠಾಕೂರ್ಕಿ ಪ್ರೇಮ ಸಹೋ ಶ್ರೀಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ಪ್ರಭೋ ನಿತ್ಯಾನಂದ ಶ್ರೀ ಅದ್ವೈತ ಗದಾಧಾರ ಶ್ರೀವಾಸಾದಿ ಗೌರ ಭಕ್ತ ವೃಂದಕಿ ಶ್ರೀ ಶ್ರೀ ರಾಧಾ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಗೋಪ ಗೋವಿನಾಥ ಶ್ಯಾಮಗುಂಡ ರಾಧಾಗುಂಡ ಗಿರಿ ಗೋವರ್ಧಾನಕಿ ವೃಂದಾವನ್ ಧಾಮಕಿ ಮಾಯಾಪುರ್ ಧಾಮಕಿ ಮಧುರಪುರಿ ಧಾಮಕಿ ಜಗನ್ನಾಥ್ಪುರಿ ಧಾಮಕಿ ದ್ವಾರಕಾಪುರಿ ಧಾಮಕಿ ಗಂಗಮಾಯಿಕಿ ಯಮುನಮಾಯಿಕಿ ತುಳಸಿದೇವಿಕಿ ಭಕ್ತಿದೇವಿಕಿ ಸಾಮವೇದ ಭಕ್ತವೃಂದಕಿ ಗೌರ್ ಪ್ರೇಮಾನಂದಿ ಆಲ್ ಗ್ಲೋರೀಸ್ ಟು ಅಸೆಂಬಲ್ ಡಿಬೋಟೀಸ್ ಆಲ್ ಗ್ಲೋರೀಸ್ ಟು ದಿ ಅಸೆಂಬಲ್ ಡಿಬೋಟೀಸ್ ಆಲ್ ಗ್ಲೋರೀಸ್ ಟು ದಿ ಅಸೆಂಬಲ್ ಡಿಬೋಟೀಸ್ ಆಲ್ ಗ್ಲೋರೀಸ್ ಟು ಶ್ರೀ ಶ್ರೀ ಗುರು ಅನ್ ಗೌರಂಗ ಆಲ್ ಗ್ಲೋರೀಸ್ ಟು ಶೀಲ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದ ನಮಃ ವಿಷ್ಣುಪದಾಯ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಪ್ರಸಾಯ ಭೂದಲೆ ಶ್ರೀಮದೆ ಭಕ್ತಿ ವೇದಾಂತ ಸ್ವಾಮಿ ನಿಧಿ ನಾಮಿನಿ ನಮಸ್ತೆ ಸರಸ್ವದೇವಿ ಗೌರವಾಣಿ ಪ್ರಚಾರಿಣೆ ನಿರ್ವಿಶೇಷ ಶೂನ್ಯವಾದಿ ಪಾಶ್ಚಾತ್ಯ ದೇಶ ತಾರಿಣಿ ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ಸಂಸಾರ ಸಾಗರೇ ಮಗ್ನಂ ದೀನಂ ಮಾಂ ಕರುಣಾನಿಧೇ ಕರ್ಮಗ್ರಾಹ ಗೃಹೀತಾಂಗಂ ಮಾಂ ಉದ್ಧರ ಭವಾರ್ಣವಾನ್ ಶ್ರೀಮದ್ಭಾಗವದಾಖ್ಯೋಯಂ ಪ್ರತ್ಯಕ್ಷ ಕೃಷ್ಣಮೇವ ಹಿ ಸ್ವೀಕೃತೋಸಿ ಮಯಾ ನಾಥ ಮುಕ್ತ್ಯರ್ಥಂ ಭವಸಾಗರೇ ಮನೋರಥೇ ಮದೀಯೋಯಂ ಸಫಲ ಸರ್ವದಾ ತ್ವಯಾ ನಿರ್ವಿಘ್ನೇನೈವ ಕರ್ತವ್ಯಂ ದಾಸೋಹಂ ತವ ಕೇಶವ ಭವೇ ಭವೇ ಯದಾ ಭಕ್ತಿ ಪಾದಯೋರ್ಸವ ಜಾಯದೇ ತದಾ ಕುರುಷ್ವ ದೇವೇಶ ನಾಥಸ್ತ್ವಂ ನೋ ಯದ ಪ್ರಭೋ ನಾಮ ಸಂಕೀರ್ತನಂ ಯಸ್ಯ ಸರ್ವಭಾವ ಪ್ರಣಾಶನಂ ಪ್ರಣಾಮೋ ದುಃಖ ಶಮನ ತಂ ನಮಾಮಿ ಹರಿಂ ವರಂ ಜನ್ಮಾದ್ಯಸ್ಯ ಯದೋನ್ವಯಾದಿದರದ ಚಾತೇಷ್ವಪಿಜ್ಞಸ್ವರಾಣ್ ತೇನೇ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮ ಹೃದಯ ಆದಿಗವಯೇ ಮುಹ್ಯಂತಿ ಯತ್ ಸೂರಯ ತೇಜೋ ವಾರಿಮೃದಂ ಯಥಾ ವಿನಿಮಯೋ ಯತ್ರ ತ್ರಿಸರ್ಗೋ ಮೃಷ ದಾಮ್ನಾ ಸ್ವೇನ ಸದಾ ನಿರಸ್ತಕುಹಕಂ ಸತ್ಯಂ ಪರಂ ಧೀಮಹಿ ಧರ್ಮ ಪ್ರೋಚಿತ ಕೈದವೋತ್ರ ಪರಮೋ ನಿರ್ಮತ್ಸರಾಣಂ ಸದಾಂ ವೇದ್ಯಂ ವಾಸ್ತವಮತ್ರ ವಸ್ತು ಶಿವದಂ ತಾಪತ್ರಯೋನ್ಮೂಲನಂ ಶ್ರೀಮದ್ಭಾಗವತೇ ಮಹಾಮುನಿ ಹೃದಯ ಕಿಂವಾವರೈರೀಶ್ವರ ಸದ್ಯೋ ಹೃದ್ಯವರುದ್ಯದೇತ್ರ ಕೃತಿಭಿ ಶುಶ್ರೂಷುಭಿ ತಕ್ಷಣಾಲ್ ನಿಗಮಗಲ್ಪದರೋರ್ಗಲಿತಂ ಫಲಂ ಶುಕಮುಖಾದಮೃತದ್ರವ ಸಂಯುಧಂ ಪಿಬದ ಭಾಗವತಂ ರಸಮಾಲಯಂ ಮುಹುರಹೋ ರಸಿಕಾ ಭುವಿ ಭಾವುಕಾಹಂ ಸಚ್ಚಿದಾನಂದರೂಪಾಯ ವಿಶ್ವೋಲ್ಪತ್ಯಾದಿಹೇತವೇ ತಾಪತ್ರಯ ವಿನಾಶಾಯ ಶ್ರೀಕೃಷ್ಣಾಯ ವಯಂ ನುಮಃ ಯಂ ಪ್ರವ್ರಜಂತಂ ಅನುಭೇದಮಭೇದಕೃತ್ಯಂ ದ್ವೈಭಾಯನೋ ವಿರಹಕಾತರಮಾಜುಹಾವಾಂ ಪುತ್ರೇತಿ ತನ್ಮಯದಯತ್ತರವೋಭಿನೇದು ತಂ ಸರ್ವಭೂತಹೃದಯಂ ಮುನಿಮಾನದೋಸ್ಮಿ ಯಸ್ವಾನುಭಾವಮಖಿಲ ಶ್ರುತಿಸಾರಮೇಕಂ ಅಧ್ಯಾತ್ಮದೀಪಂ ಅದಿತಿತೀರ್ಷದಾಂ ತಮೋಂಧಂ ಸಂಸಾರಿಣಾಂ ಕರುಣಯಾಹ ಪುರಾಣಗುಹ್ಯಂ ತಂ ವ್ಯಾಸಸೂನುಪಯಾಮಿ ಗುರುಂ ಮುನೀನಾಂ ನಾರಾಯಣಂ ನಮಸ್ಕೃತ್ಯ ನರಂ ಚೈವ ನರೋತ್ತಮಂ ದೇವಿಂ ಸರಸ್ವತಿಂ ವ್ಯಾಸಂ ತದೋ ಜಯಮುದೀರಯೇತ್ ನಮನೀಯ ಕಿಶೋರಮುಗ್ಧಮೂರ್ತೇ ಕಳವೇಣು ಕುಣಿದಾದೃತಾನನೆಂದೋಃ ಮಮ ವಾಚಿ ವಿಜೃಂಭದಾ ಮುರಾರೇ ಮಧುರೀಂ ನಕ್ಕನಿಕಾಭಿ ಕಾವಿಗಾಭಿ ನಮಾಂ ವಿಷ್ಣುಪದಾಯ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಪ್ರಸಾಯ ಭೂದಲೆ ಶ್ರೀಮದೇ ಭಕ್ತಿ ವೇದಾಂತ ಸ್ವಾಮಿ ನಿಧಿ ನಾಮಿನೇ ನಮಸ್ತೆ ಸರಸ್ವತಿ ದೇವಿಂ ಗೌರವಾಣಿ ಪ್ರಜಾರಿಣೇ ನಿರ್ವಿಶೇಷ ಶೂನ್ಯವಾದಿ ಪಾಶ್ಚಾತ್ಯ ದೇಶಧಾರಿಣಿ ಶ್ರೀಮಲ್ ಗುರು ಚರಣಾರವಿಂದಾಭ್ಯಾಂ ನಮ ವಂದೇ ನಂದವ್ರಜ ಸ್ತ್ರೀನಾಂ ಪಾದರೇಣುಮಭೀಷ್ಟಶ
യാസാം ഹരിഗതോദ്ഗീതം പുനാദീഭുവനത്രയം ഗോപീചരണാരവിന്ദപരമാണവേ നമ പീതാംബരം കരവിരാജിതചക്രശംഖം കൗമോദഗീസരസിജം കരുണാസമുദ്രം രാധാസഹായമതിസുന്ദരമന്ദഹാസം വദാലയേശമനിശം പ്രതിഭാവയാമി കോമളം കൂജയൻ വേണും ശ്യാമളോയം കുമാരക വേദവേദ്യപരം ബ്രഹ്മാപാസദാം പുരതോ മമ മൂകം കരോതി വാചാലം പങ്കും ലംഘയതി ഗിരിം യൽകൃപാതമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ നമ ശ്രീമതി രാധികായേ നമ സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദ നാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ ഓം പാർത്ഥായ പ്രതിബോധിതാം ഭഗവതാം നാരായണേന സ്വയം വ്യാസേന ഗ്രഥിതാം പുരാണമുനിനാം മധ്യേ മഹാഭാരതം അദ്വൈതാമൃതവർഷിണീ ഭഗവതി അഷ്ടാദശാധ്യായിനീം അമ്പത്വാമനുസന്ദദാമി ഭഗവത്ഗീതേ ഭവദ്വേഷിണി നമോസ്തു ദേവ്യാസ വിശാലബുദ്ധേ ഫുല്ലാരവിന്ദായതപത്രനേത്ര യേന ത്വയാ ഭാരതതൈലപൂർണ പ്രജ്വാലിതോ ജ്ഞാനമയ പ്രദീപ പ്രപന്നവാരിജാതായ തോത്രവേത്രൈകബാണയേ ജ്ഞാനമുദ്രായ കൃഷ്ണായ ഗീതാമൃതദുഹേ നമ സർവോപനിഷദോ ഗാവോ ദോഗ്ധാ ഗോപാലനന്ദന പാർത്ഥോ വത്സസുധീർഭോക്താ ദുഗ്ധം ഗീതാമൃതം മഹത് വസുദേവസുതം ദേവം കംസച്ഛാനൂരമർദനം ദേവകീ പരമാനന്ദം കൃഷ്ണം വന്ദേ ജഗദ്ഗുരും ഭീഷ്മദ്രോണതടാ ജയദ്രഥജല ഗാന്ധാര നീലോൽപല ശല്യഗ്രാഹവതി കൃപേണ വഹനീ കർണേന വേലാകുല അശ്വത്ഥാമാ വികർണ ഘോരമകര ദുര്യോധനാവർത്തിനി സോതീർണ ഖലു പാണ്ഡവൈരണനദി കൈവർത്തക കേശവ പാരാശര്യവജ സരോജമലം തഗന്ധോൽക്കടം നാനാ നഗകേസരം ഹരികഥ സംബോധനാബോധിതം ലോകൈ സജ്ജനഷൽപദൈരഹരഃ ഈയമാനം മുദാ ഭൂയാത് ഭാരത പങ്കജ വിമല പ്രധ്വംസിന ശ്രേയസേ അരോധി വാചാലം ലംഘയതി ഗിരിം യൽകൃപാതമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം യം ബ്രഹ്മാ വരുണേന്ദ്രരുദ്രമരുദസ്ത്വന്വന്തി ദിവ്യൈസ്തവൈർ വേദൈർ സംഗവതൈർ ക്രമോപനിഷദൈർ ഗായന്തി യം സാമഗാഹം ധ്യാനാവസ്ഥിതദ്ഗതേന മനസാ പശ്യന്തി യം യോഗിനോ യസ്യാന്തം ന വിദുസുരാസുരഗണൈ സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദ നാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ
After Bhikshugita and the Sankhya Yoga, Krishna spoke to Uddhava about the Sankhyam and then subsequently Aila's Purvirava's song, Aila Gita, Purvirava's song. We saw last Sunday that Prakriti is Drishyam. Isn't it? That means the material world, what we see here, is what we perceive through the senses. And it is impossible to define this creation because Maya means that which cannot be controlled, or it cannot be understood by any way. And that is why when you see Esha Maya Gunamayi Sargasthiti Andhagarini, Andariksha said this in the Navayogi's conversation. Difficult to define Maya because that the situation with Maya is like that. Therefore, if you look at that chapter in the 26th chapter, Krishna mentions there, Shri Bhagavan Uvacha, മല്ലക്ഷണമിമം കായം ലബ്ധ്വാ മധർമ്മമാസ്ഥിത ആനന്ദം പരമാത്മാനം ആത്മസ്ഥം സമുപേതിമാം വിച്ച് വി ഹാവ് സ്പോക്കൺ. ദെൻ ഈ സേയിങ് ദർ ഗുണമയ്യാ ജീവയോന്യ വിമുക്തോ ജ്ഞാനനിഷ്ഠയ. ഗുണമയ്യാ ജീവയോന്യ, ജസ്റ്റ് ലൈക്ക് ഇറ്റ് ഈസ് ലൈക്ക് ദിസ് ദ ഗുണമയ്യ ജീവയോന്യ. കൃഷ്ണ ഈസ് സേയിങ് ഗുണമയ്യ ജീവയോന്യ, ദാറ്റ് മീൻസ് ദാറ്റ് ദിസ് ജീവയോനി, ജീവയോനി മീൻസ് ഓൾ ഓഫ് അസ് ദ ജീവസ്. When we are taking birth, it happens in Maya. As soon as you come out of the womb, we fall into this Maya. Material energy takes care of everything from there. So, it is because you have taken birth in this Maya, it is like taking birth in a dream state. Taking birth in a dream state. Practically you can see at the time of birth itself is in a, you are in a dream state. In a dream state you are taking birth. It is so difficult to free ourselves from the grip of the senses. That's the most important thing. That they give this example that if you are born inside a cinema theater, and if you have lived all your life inside the cinema theater, and if you left your body inside the cinema theater, what will happen? What will happen is that you will never feel that this cinema is a false thing. Cinema is a false thing. The reason why we don't feel cinema is so seriously that is because when we are watching the cinema, we are fully conscious that when you come out, there is another world. Because you are aware of the world outside, isn't it? So, similarly... Similarly, because before you entered into the cinema hall, cinema wasn't there. And when you were living inside the cinema hall, you are observing, seeing the cinema. And when you left the cinema hall, cinema is not there. So the same principle that in the middle you are seeing something in this life, and you are taking it so seriously that this is the reality. That is why the science is going wrong. Then, in the beginning it's not there, in the end also it's not there. And that is why it says there that Vartamaneshu Yathada. Vartamaneshu Yathada. In the beginning it is not there, and at the end it is not there. Vartamaneshu yathada. In the middle you are seeing it like the way you are seeing here. Gaudapada Acharya, who wrote his famous commentary on the Mandukya Upanishad called Gaudapada Karika. In there he says like this, that what is not there in the beginning and what is not there at the end, even if you see something in the middle, in reality it doesn't exist. What is there not in the beginning and what is not there at the end, but in the middle if you are seeing something, in reality it doesn't exist. Just like in the cinema. You can know this very well. Suppose you are born inside the cinema theater and you never came out. Born there, lived there and left the body there. Then if I come and tell you this whole cinema is false, you won't believe that. You won't accept it, isn't it? So, in the same way, before I was born, cinema was there, and even after death, the cinema is still there, this world. Before I was born, this world was there. But after I left, the world is still there. So, you can see that when we come to this world, you are taking birth in a dream state altogether, in a dream world. And how, Krishna is saying here, how can you wipe out this consciousness from inside? That is what he is saying there. Jnana Nishtaya. Gunamaya Jivayoni. He says there, you can see that. Gunamaya Jivayonya Vimukta Jnana Nishtaya. Only through Jnana Nishta you can come out of this. Guneshu Maya Matreshu Drishyamaneshu Avastuda. Very important statements. ഗുണമയ്യ ജീവയോന്യ വിമുക്തോ ജ്ഞാനനിഷ്ഠ. വിമുക്തോ ജ്ഞാനനിഷ്ഠയ, യു വിൽ ഗെറ്റ് ഫ്രീഡ് ഫ്രം ദിസ് ഓൺലി ത്രൂ ജ്ഞാനനിഷ്ഠ, ഓൺലി ത്രൂ ദി പ്രോപ്പർ നോളജ്. because guneshu maya matreshu, guneshu maya matreshu, because everything that is happening in the material world, although it is coming from the three modes of nature, we take that these three modes of material nature is real, satyam or truth. And that is a mistake, because when you take birth here in this maya, when we take birth, the first mistake we commit is we are accepting that everything I am seeing is real. You are born into this maya, and as soon as you are born into this maya, jivayoni, gunamaya jivayonya, Krishna is saying there, gunamaya jivayonya, jivayoni, as soon as you accept a jivayoni, immediately it means that you have accepted the body inside maya. It is confirmed thing. And since you have accepted a body within the maya, the tendency is to accept the three modes of material nature as real. Three modes of material nature as real. So, you can see like this. Last night in the dream, I have seen so many things. Today, when I woke up, all that is not true for me. It's not true anymore, because I saw them in the dream. Isn't it? Nobody will take it seriously. And we will say, talk to each other, we'll say that, oh, after all, it was just a dream, wasn't it? In that way. So, whatever you have seen in the dream last night, why is that? Why is that? You are rejecting. And how come that what you are seeing now, you are taking it as real? That is Krishna's point. It is a very difficult thing for us to accept it easily, because under the grip of these modes of nature, maya, gunamaya jivayonya, vimukto jnananishtaya, unless we have situated in the platform of the soul, as long as we are identifying with the body and under the influence of maya, the first thing we will accept is this world is real. That's the first thing it begins. Krishna's question is this, that last night what you saw in the dream, when you woke up in this morning, you are saying that after all it was just a dream, and you have rejected that. But now what is coming into your mind and in your thoughts, everything, when you are under the three modes of material nature, why do you take that as real? That's Krishna's question. You see that? This is where Jnana Yoga comes from. Sankhyam. Sankhyam and Jnanam are very closely connected. Kamala Maharshi says exactly the same thing. Gunamaya jivayonya vimukta jnananishtaya. Why we take this as so serious as this is the real thing? This is what is going on here. And therefore, he's saying here that that was not, is this also not a dream? That is Krishna's question. That what does dream mean? Dream means that nothing outside, but you close your eyes, when we generally, what we say dream is, you close your eyes, but inside the mind is showing so many different things. In other words, there is a television going on inside by the mind. Mind is the television. In that television, you are seeing a lot of things called mind, and that's what is called a dream. And and you woke up from that and you are saying that was all false because it was a dream. Mind was showing that. But even now, in this so-called vacant state, what we call as the vacant state, when you come out of the dream, you are still halfway in the dream state. You are thinking that this is all real, 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 we keep saying. Krishna's point is, you are still halfway in the dream, because and that is what it is called, the gunam, the modes of nature. And you are saying in the vacant state, you are saying you got tension, I've got depression, I've got this, I've got that. Whatever I'm feeling in my mind, accordingly I'm saying that I'm under depression, I'm under tension, I'm very upset, I'm feeling very happy. All these kinds of statements I'm making in the vacant state. Is it not? Is it not? Is that not what we do? Krishna's point is, that why you say that this is all real? But who gave this idea to us that everything in the vacant state is real? Where did this come from? That is Krishna's question. ഗുണമയ്യ ജീവയോന്യു വിമുക്ത ജ്ഞാനനിഷ്ഠയാം. സോ ആൻഡ് ദെയർഫോർ ഹി ഈസ് സെയിങ് ദെയർ ദാറ്റ് ഗുണേഷു മായാമാത്രേഷു ദൃശ്യമാനേഷു അവസ്തുത. ദാറ്റ് ഈസ് എ വെരി ഫേമസ് സ്റ്റേറ്റ്മെന്റ്. ഗുണേഷു മായാമാത്രേഷു ദൃശ്യമാനേഷു അവസ്തുത. ടേക്ക് ഇറ്റ്, കൃഷ്ണ സേസ്, അണ്ടർ ദ മോഡ്സ് ഓഫ് മെറ്റീരിയൽ നേച്ചർ, അണ്ടർ ദ ഇൻഫ്ലുവൻസ് ഓഫ് മായ, വാട്ട് എവർ യു ആർ സീയിങ് ഈസ് അവസ്തു. ഇറ്റ് ഹാസ് നോ റിയാലിറ്റി. വി ആർ അനേബിൾ ടു റിജക്ട് ദി വേക്കന്റ് സ്റ്റേറ്റ് ലൈക്ക് ദ വേ റിജക്റ്റഡ് ദ ഡ്രീം സ്റ്റേറ്റ്. ഇൻ ദ ഡ്രീം സ്റ്റേറ്റ് യു ആർ വെരി ഹാപ്പി ടു കം ഔട്ട് ഫ്രം ദ ഡ്രീം സ്റ്റേറ്റ് ഇൻ ദ മോർണിംഗ് വെൻ യു വോക്ക് അപ്പ് ആൻഡ് യു സേ ഐ സോ സോ മെനി തിങ്സ് ഇൻ ദ ഡ്രീം വിച്ച് വാസ് നത്തിങ് ബട്ട് എ ടെലിവിഷൻ കോൾഡ് ദ മൈൻഡ് ദാറ്റ് വാസ് ഷോയിങ് അസ് സോ മെനി തിങ്സ് ഇൻസൈഡ്. ഈവൻ വെൻ യുവർ ഐസ് വർ ക്ലോസ്ഡ് ആൻഡ് യു ആർ അസ്ലീപ് ദ ബോഡി വാസ് നോട്ട് ദയർ, ഇൻ യുവർ മൈൻഡ് യു ആർ എക്സ്പീരിയൻസിങ് സോ മെനി തിങ്സ്. As soon as he woke up, he have rejected all that, what he experienced in the dream. Is it not? But what happened in the morning, everything has become real. Krishna's point is, Guneshu Gunamaya Jivayonyam Vimukto Jnana Nishtaya Guneshu Maya Matreshu Drishyamaneshu Avastuda. Whatever, because you are born into this Maya, as soon as you are born into this, three modes of material nature is working, that is showing another film here, and you are taking this and saying that it is real, and that is a mistake, he says. Guneshu maya matreshu drishyamaneshu. Why? Because it is all avastuda. It is not the vastu, it is not the truth. This is the first principle, where it coming from. This Krishna will expand it in the next chapter. This point Krishna is going to expand it in the next chapter. This is not only Krishna has spoken this. This is confirmed by Kapilavarshi, confirmed by Patanjali, confirmed by Gautama Maharshi. Everybody, they all accept this. This is no difficulty there. So, question is there, avastu. Avastu means, in order to remove this misconception inside us, that you may be saying that meditation, yoga processes, then sadhana, all these things. Only thing is, you have to wake up from this, in this daydream or the vacant state. You have to wake up from the waking state, from the waking state. And only you have to wake up from that. And then if you come out of that completely, from this dream, if you come out of that from completely, how is that possible? Because how did you from the dream state in the night, when you were in the dreams, how did you come out to this vacant state? From another state to this state, from Swapnam to Jagrat, how did you come about? How do you come out? In the same way, similarly, you have to learn to create a distance from this vacant state as well. Because vacant state, unfortunately, that is the most difficult thing to break away, this vacant state. There's so many interesting stories about this vacant state. What we consider as so real, we are running after this, isn't it? About this vacant state. How real it is, if you read Yoga Vasishtam, you will see number of stories there. Vasishtha talking to Ramachandra about this. When Brahma, there is a story in the Yoga Vasishtam, it's a very interesting story. Lord Brahma went to sleep. When he woke up in the morning, he saw so many universes everywhere, created. So he is saying, I am the creator, normally I create. How come so many universes? Who has created all these things? Brahma sees this in the morning. This is in the Yoga Vasishtam. You can read it. And he opened his eyes and looked around. So many universes, in each universe has one sun inside. He called one of the sun and asked him that who created all these universes? I am the one who normally creates everything. But who has created all these things? He says. So the sun says to Lord Brahma, this particular sun, he says to Lord Brahma, you know everything, how creation happens. But still I'll tell you how it happened. There was one couple, Brahmana couple, who were living in near Kailasam, Mount Kailas. And this Brahmana couple had no children. They worshipped Lord Shiva very intensely, and 10 children were born from them later on. They had 10 children. When after the 10 children were born, the couple died. Both of them left the body and gone. These 10 young children, they were not grown up enough, that they were in a great distress. The parents have gone. And what they did was, they decided that we have to somehow find ourselves how to live in this state where they were. So they talked to each other and they made the decision that maybe we should have a lot of wealth. They were talking to each other, the 10 among them. If you have enough wealth to maintain all of us, that would be sufficient. Somebody said to them, one of them said that wealth is not going to solve the problem. There's a lot of people who got a lot of wealth in this world. Wealth is not the solution to all the problem. Then they were again talking to each other. They were saying that Lord Brahma is a creator. Brahma's position is the best of all in the creation. Brahma's position. Brahmatvam it is called. Brahma's position. So they decided that we would all like to become Brahma. These 10 children. So the eldest one came up with this idea. That look, our parents have performed intense penances through concentration of the mind. They managed to get please Lord Shiva, and they had achieved what they wanted. So everything depends on this mind, thing called mind. If the mind is able to focus very intensely on a particular concept or a particular sankalpam, as it's called, it will happen. And equally, it is possible even to become Brahma's position, come to Brahma's position. So all 10 of them took to this process called Patanjali Sashtanga Yoga system process. And that is where they performed this dharana. You remember dharana spoken in the Ekadasha Skandam also. Krishna talks about the different Aishwarya Siddhis. How one get Aishwarya Siddhis through dharana. So the same dharana process they followed, all 10 of them. And they went into meditation, dhyanam process, strongly. And they started imagining themselves as Lord Brahma. Themselves as Lord. Sitting on a lotus flower, all of them, they were thinking like this. And they were in great meditation, like the way Brahma does the meditation. And they sat in that meditation with this strong determination in their mind. These 10 boys. These 10 boys sat in the lotus flower and performing the meditation. In that way they have performed their dharana. They performed their dharana for such a long time that eventually their body dropped off. But the subtle body inside, which was fixed on this Brahma's position, because of that strong resolve inside, they all got into the position of Lord Brahma. They all became Brahmas because of the mind. They turned into Brahma. And it is those Brahmas who have created all these 10 universes. So this is in the Yoga system. Vasishtha Maharshi talks to Ramachandra about this to show to us the power of the mind. We have somehow or the other mistaken everything. We are saying that the mind what we have shown in the night is all false. And we are saying everything what we are experiencing in the day is all true. Where did we get this understanding from? That is what Krishna is saying there. Gunamaya jivayanyam vimukto jnana nishtaya guneshu maya matreshu drishyamaneshu avastuda drishyamaneshu avastuda. Unless we come out of this ignorance of ignorant state of this vacant state, it is very difficult to go closer to the truth. It is not possible. That is why Krishna is beginning that statement with that. And in there you can see when we say we have woken up now, what does it mean? What does waking up means? Waking up means from the experience in the dream state, halfway we have woken up into the drikka. Halfway, not full. Halfway we have woken up into the drikka. Drikka drishyam, isn't it? From so in swapnam, in the dream state, there was drishyam. Swapnam, there was drishyam. There was drishyam was going on in the swapnam. But from there, Halfway you are woken up into the drik. That is called vacant state. So, try to understand this. That, see, why we say halfway? Why we say halfway is this. If you have completely woken up to the drik, you will be situated in the platform of the soul only, not in the platform of the body. Right now, it is halfway state at the moment we are. Half we are woken up and half we are in the body. Is it not? Currently, what we call now as a vacant state, half you have woken up from the drishyam. In dream state, there was drishyam. Drishyam means what you are seeing, the television that is going on in the dream state. That television you are seeing there in the drishyam, you are seeing in the dream state. And from there, when you woke up, what has happened is, you have come halfway to the drik. If you have come full way, 100% to the drik, that means you won't be in the body, you will be in the soul, in the platform of the soul. That is what Krishna's point is. Guneshu maya matreshu drishyamaneshu avastuda vartamanobi na puman yujyade avastubir gunehi. Very difficult verses they are. Vartamanobi na puman yujyade avastubir gunehi. Gunamaya jivayonya vimukto jnana nishtaya. Guneshu maya matreshu drishyamaneshu avastuda vartamanobi na puman yujyade avastubir gunehi. Vartamanobi na puman. Vartamana means now. Even in the current situation, na puman yujyade avastubir gunehi. He is still half in the control of the gunam, three modes of nature. Avastubir gunehi. He is still in the grip of that. So you can never say that this is real. In the dream state, you are rejecting everything on the understanding that it is all false. The dream state. But we are saying that vacant state, everything is real. Krishna's point is, waking state is as unreal as the dream state. This is another dream which is going through. But the difficulty is, because when we are born into the modes of nature. As soon as you are born into modes of nature, it means you are already inside that. There is no question of outside that. You are inside that. And as soon as you are inside these three modes of nature, the modes of nature has started working straight away. It is working on us. And when it's working on us, the immediate impact on us is that we take modes of nature as real. Krishna is saying modes of nature is not real. Modes of nature is not real. So that is why that first two verses in the 26th chapter. Mallakshanamimam kayam ledhuam dharma mastida anandam paramalpanam almastam samubhedimam gunamaya jivayonya vimukto jnana nishtaya guneshu maya matreshu drishyamaneshu avastudam vartamanobina puman yujyade avastubir gunehi. Vartamanobina puman yujyade avastubir gunehi. So after that, if you have come 100% into a proper vacant state, if you have come 100% to the proper vacant state, that means you will be in the platform of the soul. In the platform of the soul. So, this is Patanjali confirms this. If you look Patanjali's Yoga Sutram, he will mention the same thing. Suppose if you feel in the vacant state, suppose if you feel, I have got a body, if you make a statement like that, and in your experience if you are feeling like that, I have got a body, that means you are separate from the body, isn't it? So at that time, you can more or less say that you are in the state of drikka. But at the moment, even though you may say like that, but in your experience it's not there. So, therefore, Patanjali says like this, Tada drashtuhu surubeva avasthanam. Tada drashtuhu surubeva avasthanam. Tada drashtuhu surubeva avasthanam. That means, in swarubam, if you are established,
then you can say that you are in the state of Drikka. You are in the state of Drikka. Sadashiva Brahmendra has written a famous book, and in that Atma Vilasam, in there he will say like this: Chiti Shaktihi Swabhavige Swarupe Avatishtade. Chiti Shaktihi Swabhavige Swarupe Avatishtade. These are all very few sentences they have saying their realizations through that. Like Patanjali says, Sadashiva Brahmendra says the same thing. He says there that Chit Shakti, when the Chit Shakti is operating, then you are situated in the platform of the soul. That means you are situated within the self, within the self. And the same thing you will see in several Vedantic literature, this point spoken. As much as you have woken up from your dream state, you have seen so many things in the dream. But when you woke up in the morning, you are saying everything was a dream, it was not real. You are saying like that, isn't it? In the same way, Krishna is saying here that how you felt that everything in the dream state was a false thing. Similarly, what you are seeing now in the Jagrat, in the vacant state, and whatever thoughts are coming into your mind in the vacant state, everything is avastu. Avastu. What is called? Avastu means unreal. Unreal, not the truth. Remember in the Bhagavatam beginning itself, Krishna uses the word vastu, isn't it? Vedyam vastavamatra vastu shivadam. Vastu. Vastu means the truth. The truth. Vastu is the truth. Vedyam vastavamatra vastu shivadam. That vastu. Krishna is saying, everything in the vacant state is avastu. Is avastu. So, and Krishna says, it is not to be taken very seriously, and you have to ignore it. You have to ignore it. What they call as the mirage. And the water in the mirage, you don't have to dry it, isn't it? Because there is no water. Similarly, Marumarichiga Jalam, he says there. Mirage means when you are in the desert, far away you feel that there is water. When you go there and look, there is no water there. That's what's called mirage, isn't it? Mirage. So, same way, that water what you are seeing in the mirage is not real. Similarly, Krishna is saying here that as you go there and find that it is not there, similarly, when you have woken up to your pure identity of the self, you will realize at that point that this world is not real. This world is not. But you have to be in that state to know that this is not real. This is not real. And as you saw there, two or three times, if you have seen this Marimarichika or the mirage at a distance, after a while you will know that there is no water there. Initially, first time, you will say, oh, there is water there in the desert. But you went there and looked at it, there was no water. Then you found somewhere else there is water. You looked there, when you went there and looked, there was no water there. After a few times, you will know that there is no water anywhere, isn't it? So, that water, it is not available, and you can't take it in a pot or in a in any way, because it doesn't exist. Similarly, Krishna is saying here that one who has got jnananishtha, one who is established in the self, established in the truth, who knows the tattvam, tattvanishchayam, that's what it's called, tattvanishchayam or jnananishtha, that person, Krishna is saying, drishyamaneshu avastuta. Says there, drishyamaneshu avastuta. It is all based on these few things. The whole chapter is constructed. That gunamaya guneshu maya matreshu drishyamaneshu avastuta. Vartamanobi na puman yujyade avastubir gunehi. Vartamanobi na puman yujyade avastubir gunehi. Then when Krishna is saying all these things, and If you tell me that this is a little difficult to accept, these are not from me. This is what Krishna is saying here in the Bhagavatam. Very clearly, very openly he is declaring this. Guneshu vartamani gunosh vartamano binampuman yujjade avastabhir gunai. So, if you say to me, this is all not practical, there is no point in complaining about it. You have to go and fire Krishna. That's all you can say about it. If you can't agree with this, only thing you can do, you have to go and talk to Krishna about this. What a nonsense are you saying? What can you do? That is how it is. If you ask a question, to ask Krishna the question, is this all practical? What you are saying? Is this all practical? Because all we are doing is, what Krishna has spoken in the Bhagavatam, we are just translating and saying this. That's all. That's all it is. And even there, as much as possible, if you go into the expanded version of all these things in the Upanishads, and the way the great authorities on Upanishads have spoken about this, that it becomes too difficult to digest. So, like in the film, you cut a lot, isn't it? Censorship. In the same way, a lot of us have been censored, and that's how Krishna has put it there. What's originally in the Upanishads, Krishna has already censored it a lot and put it in the Bhagavatam like this, in two or three verses. So, that is why Krishna is saying to Uddhava, Uddhava, this jiva yoni, see that word? Gunamaya jiva yonya. This jiva yoni itself is false. Jiva yoni itself is false. It is not reality there. It's no reality is there. Jiva yoni means that you are saying that there is a thing called a jiva, isn't it? And to say like that, that itself is a lie. To say that there is a thing called a jiva itself is a lie. Jiva is also not a real thing. Like the world is not a real thing. Jiva is also not a real thing. Why? Jiva yoni is also avastu. Because whom do you say it is jiva? Who is jiva? That question will come, isn't it? Then, can you show us a photograph of this jiva? Or an identity card of this jiva? Where is this thing called a jiva? Where will you find him? Isn't it? So, you can see how ignorant the whole thing is. Only thing is, we will not think about. We are just busy with our vyavaharam in this world. And therefore, vyavaharam keeps us busy for the whole life. So we have no time to look at it the way Krishna is saying about this. Krishna is saying here that you can see that just like we have got a passport, for example. We got a passport. To get the passport, you put so much effort to get it. Applying for the passport, you got to then go online and do all kinds of things. And then it's a process. Because we feel that once you get a passport, you got an identity. Is it not? That's what our conception is, isn't it? So, there is no higher false or lie than this thing called a passport. This thing called passport. So, because in the passport they have put your photo and they put a stamp on that saying that this is you. Is it not? So, but this truth, what Krishna is saying here, this truth you can't tell everybody. Therefore, what does Upanishad says about that? Upanishad says, in this world while you are living, you have to keep on telling lies. All the time. You have to tell. So, just like you go to one country, then you need the currency in that country to live there. Say you go to America, you need the US dollars. You come here, you need the sterling. You go to Germany, you need the euro. So wherever you go, you need the currency there. Similarly, in this material world, truth won't work. Truth is not there. All that, it is full of lies. Everybody is talking lies to each other. And everybody is saying that you are wrong, I am right. Krishna is saying the whole thing is false. And you have taken this very seriously. So therefore, he is saying here that once you have born, you are born in this world, you should be prepared to keep on telling lies one after the other. And just like the currency, you are willing to keep on spending the euros or sterling or whatever it is. In the same way, you keep a lot of lies with you to live here. It's the currency for living here. Then you keep a lot of lie with you to live in this world, like the currency. So, because here, you can't tell the truth and live here. It is not possible. That if you look into Ishopanishad, that is what that verse is talking about. We won't think it like that. We are just making it too simple, those verses. You will see one famous verse there. It is the 14th verse in the Ishopanishad. It says, Smritim cha vinasham cha este devo este bhedo bhaya saha vinashena mrityum tirtva sadbhuyat amrtam asnute avidyaya mrityum tirtva vidyayam amrtam asnute. There is another verse also. Krishna there if you look at the 11th verse, Vidya, see two things Upanishad is saying. Vidya cha avidyayam cha yasta devo bhaya saha avidyaya mrityum tirtva vidyayam amrtam ashnute. The Rishi's language. Rishi is saying here, one has to know two things. What is that? Vidya and avidya. He who knows these two, vidya and avidya, together attains immortality through vidya by crossing over the death through avidya. That means, avidyayam mrityum tirtva vidyayam amrtam ashnute. Vidyayam amrtam asnute. That is the famous Ishopanishad words. Avidyayam mrityum. Because if you want to live here in this world, you require a lot of avidya here to spend, like the currency. You need a lot of avidya here. If you only have vidya here, it is not possible to do vyavaharam. Transaction is not possible. If you only have got vidya. Therefore, you require avidya to spend, like the currency. You require avidya here. Vidya and avidya. Vidya means proper knowledge of the self. Avidya means ignorance. Ignorance of the self. You require that ignorance of the self to live here, in this world. Avidyayam mrityum tirtva vidyayam amrtam asnute. Upanishad says that if you have only vidya, then you can't live here. Like you go to any country, you need the currency there to spend the money. Similarly, in the material world, you need avidya. Avidya means all kinds of false things. To realize that you have to always say, I am this body. And you have to have a passport. And you got all other identity cards or whatever it may be. In this way, loads of falsities you are dealing with all the time. Ignorance. That's what you are dealing with, isn't it? So, in order to live here, you require avidya. You require avidya. Because if you speak vidya here, people won't understand. People won't understand. Here what is required is democracy And if somebody, majority decision, as though it's the absolute. Majority means majority avidya. That's what it is. Majority won't give you the knowledge. Majority, because here that is how it is, isn't it? We make decisions, if majority approves that, then we say that majority has approved it, so it must be the truth. Is it not? So, based on avidya, all the things what we have set up here, our democratic systems, our elections, our administration and everything is based on avidya, isn't it? Avidya. So whatever these people are deciding, these people in avidya, and that we are accepting, loads of blind people made a decision. And that decision, whatever they are making, we'll have to go along with that. Is it not? Election, for example. What does election mean? Election means loads of people, all of them in avidya. And out of that, within that avidya, somebody got more votes than the other. Both are in avidya, right? So, and whatever the decision they have made, you have to go along with that. If he says, I don't accept this election, they won't agree with you. It is only for this reason that knowledge in the Vedam is only for an individual. It is not for the whole society because of this problem. Whatever the knowledge is there in the Vedam, from time immemorial, it's individuals who took advantage of that. If you want to make the whole world in that way, it is not possible because this is Maya's world. She won't allow you to change anything here. She will not let you do that. First of all, as soon as you fall into her grip, you are in that state of avidya. Even you don't have the full vidya itself, right? So even if you manage to escape from here, and if you try to change anything here, she won't allow you to do that. So that is why in Vedantam they will say this very clearly, that this vidya is only for an individual who wants to escape from here. And who can escape? Only an individual can escape. You can't take the whole community or the society from here and collectively escape from here. It's not possible. It is not possible. So this nivritti or freedom from this is only for the individual. For the individual. And that means a particular person who is in the ignorance, he comes out of it. That's all. From that ignorance, and he feels, gets situated in his real self. So when you escape from this distress, because once you are within the control of Maya, it means the modes of nature is working, and the result is that modes of nature means it will bring happiness and distress. And and it will have definitely some influence on the person who has come here. And it is at that time that he is asking the question, who I am? And who is this thing called I am, what I am saying here? And who is this jiva, what we talk about, jiva yoni? And who is the source of this jiva? When you ask all these things, that itself has no meaning. That itself has no meaning. Gunamaya jiva yonya vimukto jnana nishtaya guneshu maya matreshu drishyamaneshu avastuta vartamano vinapuman yujyade avastubir gunehi. Then what is there? What is remaining there? That Krishna says to Uddhava, what is existing here is only me, Krishna. Means Alma. Only Alma is existing here. That is what he said in the first verse. Anandam parama almanam almastam samubedimam. Anandam paramanandam almastam samubedimam. Only I am here. Nothing else is here. Everything else is false. Only I am here. Nothing else is here. Everything else is false. Anandam paramanandam almastam samubedimam. After saying that, Krishna said this thing. First statement was, മല്ലക്ഷണമിമം കായം ലഘു ആമധർമ്മമാസ്തിത ആനന്ദം പരമാത്മാനം ആത്മസ്ഥം സമുപൈതി മാം. ആനന്ദം പരമാനന്ദം പരമാത്മാനം ആനന്ദം പരമാത്മാനം ആത്മസ്ഥം സമുപൈതി മാം. ഇറ്റ് ഈസ് ഓൺലി അന്തര്യാമി പരമാത്മാ ഹു ഈസ് പ്രസന്റ് ഹിയർ ഫുൾ ഓഫ് ബ്ലെസ്. ആത്മസ്ഥം സമുപൈതി മാം, ഓൺലി മീ അലോൺ. ദെൻ കൃഷ്ണ ഈസ് സെയിങ് നെക്സ്റ്റ് വൺ അബൌട്ട് അസ്, ഗുണമയ്യ ജീവയോന്യ. ഗുണമയ്യ ജീവയോന്യ, ജീവയോനി ഈ ഡസന്റ് എക്സിസ്റ്റ്, ഇവ ഇസ് ഗുണമയ്യ. Something which is in the gunam, under the three modes of material nature, Krishna won't accept it as real. Anything which is under the three modes of material nature, Krishna will not accept it as real. From Krishna's point of view, gunamaya jivayonya. Jivayoni is under the three modes of material nature. Gunamaya jivayonya. Unless you come out of that situation, jiva vimukto jnana nishtaya, through knowledge, then guneshu maya matreshu drishyamaneshu avastuta, you will know this, that guneshu, all the three modes of material nature is maya, and therefore drishyamaneshu avastuta, everything what you are seeing through the gunam, through the senses, is nothing but avastu. Vartamano bina puman yujade avastubir gunaihi. Even in the present state, when you are experiencing in this circumstances where you are now, then vartamanobi na puman yujyate avastubhir gunaihi, that nothing you can say it's real here, because under three modes of material nature you are doing this vyavaharam here. Upanishads are saying exactly the same thing what Krishna is saying here. Avidya that he mentioned before, that avidya mrutyam tirtva vidyayam amrutam ashnute. Avidya mrutyam tirtva, as long as there is avidya inside, mrityu is there, death is there. And because vidyaya amrutam ashnude, Ishopanishad, vidya comes in, amrutatvam comes. Avidya comes, mrityu comes. Avidya comes, mrityu comes. When vidya comes, amrutatvam, immortality comes with that. As long as we feel I'm going to die, I'm going to take birth, as long as it's there, what does that mean? It means that avidya is there in the person. When avidya leaves a person, amrutatvam ashnude, he is immortal. He feels that he is beyond this material body. He has nothing to do with this material body. That is what he is explaining there. And then he is saying, Almastam, so, Anandam Paramatmanam Almastam Samubedimam. Krishna mentions there, isn't it? So you can see in that first verse itself, Anandam Paramatmanam Almastam. He is not talking about a God who is somewhere far away. Who is far away? Who is that? One who is situated within each and every one of us as our identity, as Swarupam, in the form of avabhodam or awareness. Paramatma Swarupam, Paramananda Swarupam, that Paramatma Swarupam, that is Samupaidi. And he gets that back to himself. As his own Andaryami realization happens to him. So, when he gets that, what does he say? Vartamanobi na puman yujyade avastubir gunaihi. When he has realized that Andaryami inside, when he has realized that, his own Swarupam, identity, has become that. It becomes that. Then he knows that, he realizes that, only that Andaryami alone exists here, nothing else is existing here. As he mentioned there, Anandam Paramalpanam Almastam Samupaidimam. So, and Avastubir Yujyade Avastubir Gunai. That, but when this realization happens to a person, that you can see there, the three modes of material nature is still there. Sattvagunam, Rajogunam, Tamogunam. All the vyavaharam is still going on like before. But he is not identifying with this, with the vyavaharam or with the modes of nature. He is free from everything because his identification is now with anandam paramatmanam atmastam samupeti mam. That's where he is. Atmastam. He has become Atma. So Jiva has no reality. Jiva has no reality. You may ask a question. We have these statements, Jiva Surubhaya Nitya Krishna Das. When is that statement true? It is not a statement forever. In the initial stages, when we have in the Dvaita mode, when you see that you have a relationship with Krishna and there is full of dvandvam inside, at that stage, Jiva is a reality. Anjaneya Swami mentions this in the Ramayana. He says like that. Dasa buddhyas deha buddhyastu dasoham. Jiva buddhyastu tadamshaka. Atma buddhyastu tumevaham. Iti me nishchidamati. That is the statement. That deha buddhyastu dasoham. When I am thinking I am this body, I am your servant. We accept that. There is no problem. Deha buddhyastu dasoham. Jiva buddhyastu tadamshakam. Then when you are in the jiva state, you are thinking you are a jiva. That means you have gone beyond the body. You have come to start accepting the existence of jiva. Jiva buddhyastu tadamshakam. At that time it is part and parcel. But once you have moved on to atma buddhi, what Krishna is saying here, paramatmanam atmastam, if you have got there, then jiva, like the body has disappeared, jiva also disappears. Jiva also disappears. That is why. So, here, after this atmastam, when you come to that state, then his yogam at that time, yogam means union, that's the actual word of meaning, isn't it? Yogam is not with the body anymore, yogam is with the swarupam, his paramatmanam atmastam samupaitimam, it is with the swarupam. Up to this point, where was his yogam? His yogam was in sattvagunam, in rajogunam, in tamogunam, and then in his gross body, and then in his subtle body, and then in his causal body. It was in those places, the yogam. Yogam means actually union with something. His pure consciousness, where was it in union with? It was in union with the gross body, with the subtle body, with the sattvagunam, with the rajogunam, with the tamogunam, and with the causal body, karana shariram, all these things. When that union has come with the andaryami inside, then that is when Krishna is saying in the Bhagavad Gita, dukkham samyoga viyogam. Remember that? Dukkha samyoga viyogam. So there that yogam is cut. Yogam is cut. Just like when the light comes in, the darkness goes away. Similarly, one you have realized that self, one who has realized the self, anatma, automatically, the unreal thing, in a natural way, it drops out. It drops out. So you need not drive it out. It will drop off on its own. Avastabir gunaihi na yujyade. Avastabir gunaihi na yujyade. Krishna is saying that. Vartamanobi na puman yujyade avastabir gunaihi. That means, even though lot of vyavaharam will happen in this world, he has no connection with it. He has no connection with it. After saying this, he says to Uddhava, to get that is a little difficult. It's not easy to get to that state. Atmastam. Not jivastam, atmastam. First is dehastam, in the body. Next one is jivastam, in the jiva. And finally it is the atmastam. To get to atmastam, Krishna says to Uddhava, it takes time. It won't happen easily. And in order to do that, you got to be a lot careful here in this world. Very, very, very careful. Because you can see where the problem is now with the Jnana Margam. It is not simple. It is not simple. So that is why he is saying there that you can see how Krishna begins that. In order to do that, he says, first thing is, Sangam na kuryal. Look at the next words. Sangam na kuryada sadam. Shishnodaradravam kochil. Tasyanugamastamasyande. Padatyandanugandhaval. First thing, he says, to become Atmastam is not easy. Krishna agrees with Uddhava. He says to Uddhava, Uddhava, to get that established in that Atmastam, you got to be extremely alert. Why? Sangam na kuryat asadam shishna udarya drubam kochi tasya anuga stamasyandhe padatyandhanugandhavan. Then Uddhava, he says to Uddhava, Krishna says to Uddhava, Uddhava, in this world, people, general class of people, they have only two, three things they are busy with. They want to drink, they want to eat very well, and they want to enjoy life. This is average person in this world, is it not? That's a classical statement. That means Krishna is seeing what is jivas busy with, eating, drinking, enjoying life, as much as that thing can get in this world. As much you can extract from here. That's all. We'll try this. If you don't get some happiness here, we'll go and try something else. One way or the other, trying to enjoy something. Isn't it? Apart from this, Krishna is saying, there is nothing else happening here in this world. We make a big thing out of this, isn't it? Big, big projects, and 2030 we will have a growth of GDP, so much this, that. And Krishna says all this has no meaning. Your so-called GDP and Brexit and all that, what does it mean? From Krishna's viewpoint, he's saying, people are busy with all these things. That's what we are busy about, isn't it? And everything here, the literature, the cinema, poetry, all kinds of things what we have created, this is all what it is discussed. We think that all these big, big meetings, big, big people are sitting together and discussing big, big topics, isn't it? But when you really look at them, what they are discussing, there's absolutely no substance in anything. It is totally useless things. They are talking, not knowing anything. They are also ignorant, though a bunch of ignorance people sitting together. And what will they discuss about? The same ignorance they will share each other. Is it not? So, and this Krishna is saying, this situation has been like this from time, from the beginning itself. It's been like this. Nothing has changed. In that, for example, you can see the movie industry. How many years now these movies they are making in different parts, isn't it? Different parts of the world, they make different movies, and practically you can see the theme is one and the same thing. They build a different story centered around the theme. There will be a man and a woman, and if it is a Bollywood movie, there will be a tree. There will be a forest and the man will be running around, the girl will be running around with that, isn't it? So, and what you have seen in that movie, for so many years, the same theme is presented in different formats to us. A new movie comes out, whether it is in Hollywood or in Bollywood, it's not much different. The same story, they will present it in different formats. That's all it is. And that's what that means, that nature in us has not changed. And we are trying to extract as much happiness as possible from this world. Sometimes it is interesting to watch people, how that nature in our vasanas comes out very strongly. Like when somebody is young, you go to all these places like Walt Disney's, what's that called? And places like that. One or two generations gone. The third generation, they are also doing the same thing. And you are sitting here and looking at it. What was the use of all that? You went to all these places to look at these things. And we are told there is something there when you got there. Now when you think about it, there is nothing there. Is it? So, but new generation, they are thinking, they have been told, you have to go there. If you don't go, you're missing something. So Krishna is saying, all what is going on is puna puna charvita charvanana, chewing the chewed. Okay. We have chewed, we spat it out, number another one is coming and chewing it again, and he spits out, another one comes and takes it again and he's chewing it. So the Pashwadibhischa Avisheshad, that is what it called. In the Bhagavad Gita commentary, Ajari Swami mentioned Pashwadibhischa Avisheshad. Like Pashus, like the animals, he says. So he's not saying in a way that it is a fault. What he's saying here is that this is our nature. This is our nature. And there is nothing here that you have to talk very big about in this world. There is nothing here to speak so big about. That is why, that to be expanding on that. There is nothing here to expand on that, because Bhartrihari says like this, Kavi guhaini sheshaihi bahukritam. Kavi means poets, what they do is that they pick up something from this world and they be expanding on that in a big way and make people feel that there is something very important happening in this world. In this way, they have given importance to useless things and make it very important. And we start feeling in the same way, we were also given by the society about certain things presented to us in that way. And we started accepting that as the perfection of life. Perfection of life. Perfection of life. In this way, they have destroyed us. So because of that, what happened is, our little energy, what we have got in this life, in this body, we go and wasted all that energy in useless things. Instead of using it for a higher purpose, we have used all that energy in this gratification of the senses. So, and all the little things in this world has become important for us. Has become important for us. So, this problem is there in the Vedam also, in the Karmakandam. Karmakandam section also has got the same problem, that there is what they call as garbage. This garbage is there in the Karmakandam section of the Vedas also. So, in order that, why is it spoken like that? Because Karmakandam also, when the general class of people take to Karmakandam, they take to the Karmakandam in such a way that through Karmakandam they are looking for enjoyment in the higher planets. Because the happiness what you can get in this world here, the standard of happiness here, is not sufficient for that person. He realizes that on a higher plane, there is much more higher happiness available in the heavenly planets. So therefore, he goes for performing sacrifices. Different kinds of yagam, soma yagam, adhiratram and all other yagam sacrifices. So because Karmakandam is also providing the same enjoying spirit in the heavenly planets, it is also called not of much help to us. Much help us. So when you look at the normal world from in this world, it is all dependent on this ignorance, avidya. Karmakandam also, if it is not understood properly, it is avidya. It is avidya. Karmakandam is also avidya. So, the problem is, that it is not saying this is right or wrong. What it is saying here is that a misunderstanding has happened to us, that the purpose of life is all these things. That is the problem. Due to this conception that in our understanding in this world, we have come to the conclusion that this whole vyavaharam in this world and achieving success in this world is the goal of life. This ignorant concept has come into our head. That is the problem. We are not saying that. Shastram is not saying it is all useless. That world is useless, Karmakandam is also useless, but mistake is that these things, what it has done to us, what impact it has on us is that somehow or the other, there a decision has been made by in our subtle level inside us that the only thing what we have to achieve in this world is the so-called happiness of this world. This misunderstanding had come to us. This is the problem. This is the problem. That is why Ekadasha Skandam, when you read that and when you try to appreciate, appreciate Ekadasham, you need to understand that where Krishna is coming from when Krishna is saying these things. So, sometimes people have so much misconception about this that some people say that suppose I am able to see my son, grandson and great-grandson, if all three, four generations I'm able to see, then I will get liberated. People have this kind of conception in their head. So, they are saying that why you are talking all this Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam and all? What's the need? So much absorbed in the body, isn't it? So if it was that simple, that Sufi had a son, grandson, great-grandson, and you are getting liberated because of that, liberation would have been much easier than this, is it not? And then you don't need Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam. And that means fill up your belly, enjoy your senses as much as you can. That's all the life about then. So, and there is sufficient literature, poetry, arts, and all kinds of social network to enjoy all these things. So, in order to increase your material happiness, all these things has been created. Krishna is saying there to Uddhava, Uddhava, it is like a procession of blind people. There is a procession of blind people, that is this world. This world is nothing but a procession of blind people. Blind people. Andha parambareya samsara saranihi. Upanishad says like that. Andha parambareya samsara saranihi. So, a loads of blind people are going together. One behind the other. It is led by a blind person. And another blind person is holding on to him. A third one is holding on to the second one. And like that, 10 or 15 blind men, one behind the other. But the whole thing is led by a blind person. So, by chance, a person who has vision, he saw them going. And he noticed that he may go and fall into some pit somewhere. So he says to him, to the leader of the blind men, don't go in that direction, you are going to fall there. He doesn't listen to him. What will happen? What will happen? Because he won't listen, the followers will only listen to the leader. They are saying, we have got our own leader. We don't want anybody else to tell us. We don't want anybody else to tell us. And we shouldn't, Krishna says, you shouldn't become like those followers. Everybody is leading you. The leader itself is blind. And you are their follower. You are their followers. So, Andha yathandai upaniyamanaha. Bhagavatam will say like this. So, if you have a person who has got proper vision, if he leads, then everyone will be saved, isn't it? So, if you are not able to see the things properly, it is not a great fault. It is not a great fault. Outside, if you don't see things properly. But inside, if you can't see things properly, it's a big problem. That is Krishna's point there. That because if you start seeing outside with the eyes, I am seeing so many things. And if I am unable to see some things not properly, it doesn't matter. It's not a big loss. But if I lost my inside vision, proper vision inside, then I have lost everything. That is the important principle. That's why it's saying here. Sangamna kuryada sadam shishno daratrupam kochil tasya anugamastamasyante padatyanta anugam thavad. Tasangamna kuryada sadam shishno daratrupam kochil tasya anugamastamasyante padatyanta anugam thavad. Krishna's point. Padatyanta anugam thavad. One blind is leading, you are also following that blind person, you are all going into the same pit. You are going to go into the same pit. Padatyanthanu Gandhavad. That, so, what will happen is if you follow those leaders who are already blind, you follow them, you will go and fall into Patandi Anthanu Gandhavad, he says there, isn't it? So it will be like that, a group of people who are all blind is following another blind person, And you will also go and fall into the same anartham. Tasyanigama tamasyande paratyanthanu gandhavad uddhava. That is what is going to happen. So this whole world, from Krishna's point of view, is a journey towards anartham. Towards the anartham. Wherever you look, that's all what you can see here. So because you can see, look at anybody for that matter, the politicians, businessmen, and big leaders in the society, they haven't got a clue what life is meant for. All the time the discussion is about what? About getting your economy going. What else is discussion going on here? Is it not? You think that this is a very higher level of realization. There is no understanding how many houses you can build or how the GDP will go up. And issues like this. This is the topmost discussion going on among the leaders, isn't it? That is what Krishna is saying here. That in that one verse, small verse, Krishna has put the whole, all of us, into that. What is that? Sangam na kuryad asadam shishna odaranrubam kochet tasya anugama tamasyande padatyandhanu gandhavat. Padati andhanu gandhavat. That is the destination, he says there. So, why? Because there is no definite goal in life. There is no definite goal. And even if one or two people decide to go in this direction, what Krishna has spoken, that others will say that there is something wrong with you. That's how this world is. That's how the world will see us. That this has happened to many, many great personalities. To one great personality, they told him that you are crazy. They told him, you are crazy. So he said that, his answer was that, everybody is crazy here. Everybody is crazy. Some people are crazy for money. That's also craziness. Some people are crazy for name and fame. They're crazy after that. Some people want to have some position in this world. They're crazy for that. And some people are saying, I didn't get married. They're crazy to get married. And somebody else says, I didn't have children. So they're crazy for that. So in this way, he said, who is not crazy here? He said, my craziness, that I didn't get Krishna, that is my craziness. I didn't realize the self. That is my craziness. No matter who is here, everybody is crazy. That is the conclusion. Everybody is crazy here. So instead of thinking about that vastu, which is permanent, is not better, this Mahatma said, is not better to become crazy about that one thing which is permanent? Is that not better? That was his point. Instead of getting crazy about all the other things in this world. Anybody who comes here, he will become crazy with one thing or the other. That is definite. So, it is better, since you have to get crazy here, one way or the other. Everybody is crazy here. Either for money, or for position, or for name and fame, or for some kind of popularity, or whatever it may be. People are crazy for all these things. And Mahatma says that instead of becoming crazy about all these silly things, why don't you become crazy of realizing the self or realizing Krishna. So, and to get people who are crazy about that is very few. It's very difficult to find that people who are crazy about Krishna. That is the important thing. So after saying that, he says here that that Krishna says to Uddhava that it is a before we talk about this Ailagidam, it is the beginning of Ailagidam, Pururava story, isn't it? All the things what is spoken in the Bhagavadam, it is all from the Vedam. Pururavas also is a personality in the Vedam. Vritrasura is a personality in the Vedam. Ajamila is a personality in the Vedam. But only thing is, while it is spoken in the Vedam, in 8 or 10 letters, they have spoken what they have to say about Ajamila, Pururavas and all that. And in the Vedam, when it is spoken, those who are intelligent, means who have that higher understanding, even those 10 letters or 15 letters is enough for them. They can reflect on this and get the right conclusions from that. But when it comes to Puranam, like Srimad Bhagavatam and other Puranam, those things has to be expanded in a big way for the ordinary people to connect with it, to get an understanding of that. For example, just one example, in the Vedam, Lord Vamana's appearance is spoken in 10 words. Actually not even 10 words, 4 words, 10 letters altogether. That's all. And that one statement in the Vedam about Vamana, Lord Vamana, is spoken in the Vamana Puranam 20,000 verses. 10 letters in the Vedam, when expanded into Puranam, it has become 20,000 verses. 20,000 verses. So, in the same way, everything in the Upanishads, from where Krishna has brought this Ekadasha Skandam, in a similar way, is very, very limited. And limited in the sense that it requires so much explanation to get a feeling for what Krishna is saying. Otherwise, it will just go like this in front of us. It won't have the impact on us. So that is why, look at what we spoke yesterday, last class and today. For Krishna, it is only 2 verses. You see? Mallakshanamimam kayam ledhuama dharmam astida anandam paramalpanam almastam samupedimam gunamaya jivayonya vimukto jnana nishtaya guneshu maya matreshu drishyamaneshu avastudaham vartamano vinappuman yujyade avastuvir gunaihi. In those 2 verses, Krishna has given the summary of the whole thing. Summary. But to understand what Krishna is saying requires a lot of explanation to that. When it is a summary of the Upanishads, Krishna has brought into a very simple format there. And then in the 3rd verse, Krishna says, in order to get that realization, it's a bit difficult. Krishna himself says to Uddhava, Uddhava, it is not so easy to get that. And therefore, first thing, what you have to do, Sangam na kuryada sadam, Shishno daradrupam kochil, tasya anugastamasyandhe, patatyandha anugandhavan. Beginning of that. This is the first instructions to Uddhava. Uddhava, in order to get a grasp of this thing, what I have spoken, first thing, first and the foremost thing what one has to do is to first cut off Sangam with Asat. Unless connection with the Asat is broken, it is not possible to realize this. Sangam na kuryad asadam. Sangam na kuryad asadam. Unless the connection with the Asat is broken, Sangam with the Asat is broken, Sangam na kuryad, Krishna says. Sangam na kuryad. Unless the connection with the Asat is broken, it is not possible to get this understanding. Krishna says to Uddhava, Uddhava, it's all very nice to say these things. Sattvagunam, Rajogunam, Tamogunam, Prakriti, Purusha. And it is also, as Krishna said there before, that Paramalpanam Altmastam. Shanti, Samupedimam, Shanti. Samupedimam, Krishna says, isn't it? Parama Anandam, Paramalpanam, Almastam, Samupedimam. So, that's all very fine. But, in order to do this, first thing, say you're going to live in a place alone. Alone. One has to be alone. And then you close your eyes and you have directed your attention inside and you have taken all your attention from the world. Drika Drashtava has taken from the Drishyam all your attention and it has turned towards the Andaryami inside, Pratyak, as it is called Pratyak. Upanishads also was the word Pratyak. Pratyak Prashandam Bhagaval Shabda Samyam Yad Vasudevam Kavayo Vadandi. Who uses this? Jadabharata says this. Pratyak. It's called Pratyak. Pratyak means your attention is inside, not outside. Pratyak Prashandam. Where your attention? Bhagaval Shabda Samyam. Bhagaval Shabdam. Pratyak Prashandam Bhagaval Shabda Samyam Yad Vasudevam Kavayo Vadandi. So, Pratyak means going inwards. Going inwards. And keep on practicing this to establishing oneself in the self. And keep on practicing for the whole life and eventually making it as your realization. And that when it becomes your own, then that is our jnani's realized state, sahajasthiti. So, when you are practicing that, whatever that is causing problem for that, the greatest problem is vyavaharam. Vyavaharam is the problem. Vyavaharam, what is the problem with vyavaharam? Why vyavaharam is a problem? Vyavaharam is the one, that is why Ekadasha Skandam when you read, do not think that it's all going to happen to us. First thing. Because we want our avidya. We want our vyavaharam. But, and we are not willing to come out of that. And so long as it is like that, it will remain as a, not in the realization, it will not happen. It will not happen. Till first thing, you have to break this connection with the vyavaharam. That's why I say, sangam na kuryad asadam. Vyavaharam is asat. Asat, real asat is vyavaharam, actually. So, what is the problem with vyavaharam? Vyavaharam means, we are thinking that, suppose you are associating with some people and we talk to them, we may have some problem due to that association with somebody. It is not like that. It's not like that. That's not the only problem. Problem is that, that every single person in this world, every single person in this world is a moving energy source. Moving energy source. And some people, if you just very close to them, if you go, they will eat you completely. In other words, on a subtle level, they will have such an effect on you. Such an effect on you. That you just sit with them for some time, you will feel tired, exhausted, just being with them. Just being with them. Just like in certain places, if you sit, you won't feel peaceful at all. You won't feel peaceful at all. That is so many things like that, that you know. That is why the rishis and all, they went to the forest, they went to Himalayas and places like that. Why? Because they know, in the middle of the whole society, it is not possible to reach a higher level of realization. Once you know that the truth is something beyond this world, if you have accepted what Krishna is saying, it is a known thing that while living in this world, in this present situation with all the vyavaharam and transactions going on here, it is impossible to develop any higher understanding of life, knowing that. So, and equally you can say that what to talk about going to Himalayas, even while living in this world, being close to somebody, that is enough. There is an energy flowing from them on you and it will affect your way of thinking, your interactions with the others, everything depending on the people around you. They will have it's a magnetic field like thing. From everyone there is a field working around you and that will have its effect on you as well. So, and similarly, certain places when you go, you can see the effect of those places on us. Like you go into the forest and you see the peacefulness there, aloof from everything, how the influence of the Sattvagunam permeating there. When Krishna mentions that, Vanam tu Satyo Vasam, you go to the Oxford Street and you see all what is going on there, what is the impact on you? Look at yourself, how it is changing your way of the influence of the place. Influence of the people and influence of the place as well, isn't it? If you say this to ordinary people, they will not accept that. They will say that, because it is not based on any logic, is it? There is no logic you can provide for this. But if you live in this world, you will know this. If you live in this world, you will know this. That certain places is no-go area. It's not good to go to such places. Because if you go there, it will affect your consciousness. It will affect your consciousness. And these things cannot be explained through logic. It cannot be explained through logic. So even if you give any logic, it is no point in giving logic to all these things. So logic also has got its limitations. Logic has its own limitations, isn't it? So, these things, like the influence of the place, influence of other people on us, all these things cannot be explained through any logical way. Any logical way. So, and that time, your so-called logic, you have to take it away and put it in the waste paper basket. Because logic has no meaning in situations like this. In situations like this. See, because for Vyavaharam, it won't be of any help. So, only in Vyavaharam you will know this, that what Krishna is saying there, Sangam na kuryad, that is called Dussangam. Dussangam means bad association. Association with things which will influence our consciousness. To understand that, in Vyavaharam you will know these things. What happens? You have tried very hard by reading Srimad Bhagavatam and developed a certain understanding of what Krishna has spoken. You are chanting the holy name and you are trying to keep a certain state of mind in a peaceful state. But when you have all that, suddenly you have discovered, you come into contact with a person who has influenced you in a negative way, very strongly. Immediately you will see what you have taken, put all the energy to build up that state of consciousness is gone. Is it not? In our daily life you can see this. Say you're chanting regularly, you are reading Srimad Bhagavatam, what Krishna has spoken, and you are benefiting from that understanding, and you are feeling peaceful inside about what Krishna has spoken. And in that peaceful state, suddenly you had to deal with somebody in this world. And that person has no connection with spiritual life, no interest in spiritual life, but just being in contact with that person, there is a negative influence from him, and you could see that a short period of time interacting with that person, this whole thing what you have built up inside has completely gone from inside. Isn't it? So in this way you don't know how many people have fallen in this world from spiritual life. How many people have fallen in spiritual life from this world? They have fallen from the highest level to the lowest point. Therefore, Krishna says to Uddhava, Sangam na kuryad. Sangam na kuryad. So, never ever associate with people who are absorbed in this kind of life. Which one? Gratification, sense enjoyment. Shishno udara trupam kochit. Shishnam udaram. Belly and genitals. That's the only happiness they have. There is nothing else beyond than that. Never associate with them. Sangam na kuryad sadam, shishno daranrupam kochin, Tasya anugamattamasyande padatyanda anugandhavad. Then, so, even you can see this, after coming to spiritual life, even then, Shishnam Udaram still doesn't leave, isn't it? It doesn't leave us easily. It has still has its influence. That is why Krishna is saying here, Shishnodaram Rupam Kocha, that even in the spiritual field, you can see, for example, that we say even in the temples, when Srimad Bhagavatam is spoken, that you will notice when there is prasadam time, everybody is there, 2,000 people. After the prasadam is over, 10 people. Shishna Udharan Rupam Kochil. So, and prasadam should be first class. Otherwise they won't come. So everything is dependent on the food then, is it not? There was a famous personality, Thai Manavar. He says there, all kinds of things to eat and all kinds of enjoyment. In this way, the life will finish. Thai Manavar's statement. All kinds of facilities to enjoy and all kinds of food to eat. That's all life. Nothing else to eat than that, he said. After saying this, Krishna is saying about the Ayla, Puruvirava's story. That is the fourth verse, you see. Ayla samradimam khadam akhayadam rihal shava urvashi virahan muhyen nirvinna shoga samyame. Ayla samradimam khadam akhayadam rihal shava urvashi virahan muhyen nirvinna shoga samyame. In the Bhagavatam, there is different personalities telling us their experiences in life. They were not ordinary people. Puruvaravas is the person from whom Lunar dynasty had begun. Puruvaravas is saying to us that that in my life, I got attached to Urvashi. Very close with Urvashi. And this is the story in the Vedam. And that story in the Vedam is very small, because that was sufficient for those who study the Vedam. But for general class of people, it has to be spoken in detail. So therefore, it has come in the Bhagavatam with a whole chapter. Whole of 26th chapter. So, and this story is in the Itihasams as well. Devi Bhagavatam, everywhere you will find this story. Which one? Puruvirava story. Urvashi became Puruvirava's wife for quite a long period of time. What happened was, Puruvirava performed so many sacrifices, and the result of that, he had gone into the heavenly planets. It is Puruvirava who started these sacrifices. You will see in the third canto, ninth canto mentioned that. Puruvirava started all these sacrifices in Tridayugam, when the sacrifices were introduced. First time, it was in Puruvirava's time, sacrifices were introduced into this world. He performed so many sacrifices. Eventually he ended up in the heavenly planets. There he met up with Urvashi. Seeing Urvashi's beauty, Urvashi was also attracted to Puruvirava's. Unfortunately, Puruvirava's didn't know the whole story about Urvashi. Urvashi is so beautiful, and in the heavenly planets, those people, they think about us. Is not very good. What they think about us, they treat us like the worms in the because that's from their viewpoint, when they look at our life to living in this world, just like you can see, it's all a relative thing. In which plane you are living, accordingly your consciousness. Like the devadas in the heavenly planet, for example, Vidyadharas, Gandharvas, Charanas and all that, they are on a much higher consciousness. Human consciousness, because of the Rajogunam, and the way we live here, when they look at us, just like we look at the hogs in the stool, like the way they look at us. That's how they see us. And our bodily features, our opulences here, is of no importance to them. They don't consider this as opulence even. They consider a bunch of animals wandering around in this world, looking for, like we look at animals, like the way they look at us. Who? The devadas. So Urvashi also never wanted to come here. But it so happened, those who have performed the sacrifices and gone to heavenly planets, they have, when the pious activities results are finished, they have to come back here. Chine punye martilogam vishandi. Krishna says that in the Bhagavad Gita also. So our Puyuravas, when he got there, by performing yagam here, he got there. Urvashi knew that he will come back here. And since she knew this, she had a curse from Vasishta, I think, before, that she had to come and stay in the earthly planet for some time to clear up that curse. She had to come here. So she was thinking about this, what to do, how to come out of this curse. So when Pururavas got there, she looked at Pururavas and she thought, he's very good looking and very capable person. So why not? Why shouldn't I accept him as my husband for some time and stay with him in this world? And that is how, when Pururavas came here, Urvashi came back with him and stayed with Pururavas here. And that is how this relationship started between Pururavas and Urvashi. Pururavas, after seeing Urvashi, he has gone mad. He has gone mad, completely mad. You could never believe this, it could happen to somebody like Pururavas. That is how Bhagavatam says this. He has gone so crazy seeing Urvashi that he couldn't live without her. He was so much infatuated with Urvashi. That is what he is saying here. Then, so if you do a lot of pious activities in this world, yagam, particularly soma yagam, and so many other yagams mentioned, if you perform all that, you may go to the higher planets and you may get people like Urvashi there. But, so, and when you get people like Urvashi, it is very difficult to give up also that relationship, isn't it? See, whatever it may be, Urvashi came here with Pururavas, spent some time here, and when that time was over, she couldn't stay here. She couldn't stay here. She wanted to go back to her planets, because she is used to that lifestyle there. Her GDP is a lot higher than our GDP, to put it in our language. So, when she got there, she saw here what is going on with Pururavas, but she had to stay a certain period of time to complete that curse. After that it was over, she made some excuse and got away from here. Got back to her higher planets again. So, that is why. And when she gone back, Pururavas situation here. Look at the fifth verse. Tektva almanam vrajandintam nagna unmattavan rupa velavan anyaga jaye gore tishtedi viklavaham. Tektva almanam vrajandintam nagna unmattavan rupaham velavan anyaga jaye gore tishtedi viklava. Jaye gore tishtedi viklava, says there. Then, then, Pururavas is wandering around. Where is Urvashi? Where is Urvashi? He's asking. Then, please don't go away, leaving me alone here. Then, and I'm not still satisfied. You are leaving me and going away. How can I live on my own? and says, and look at his state. Krishna says, Ailavacha Ahome Mohavisaram Kama Kashmala Chetasaha Devya Grihida Kantasya Nayukanda Imes Pradaha. Ahome Mohavisaram. Prior to that, in the sixth verse he is saying that Kaman Adrupto Anujushan Kshullagan Varshayamini Na Vedayandir Nayandir Urvashi Akrishta Chetana. Urvashi Akrishta Chetana. He says there that Urvashi has gone. Urvashi has gone from here. And this situation, look at this world and look at people. Look at people. So many people. When the wife dies or husband dies, what happens? Look into their life. You will see exactly the same situation happening to them. That once one of them is gone, the other's life is over. Other's life is over. This you can see yourself very carefully if you look at people, two people, husband and wife, living together for a long period of time. And one of them goes, the other one is finished. You may or may not agree with me, but this is the truth. It's not always singing and dancing all the way to the spiritual world. Before that, a lot of things are going to happen here. Somehow we are in this illusion. It is going to be like this forever. It is not. That it's only a question of time. It will bring some realizations to us. How soon everything can change. And this Pururavas running after Urvashi is a typical, is a representation of our own life in this world, what happens here. So, and many people, with that life is finished. And in order to teach us that, this Urvashi story has been spoken in the Bhagavatam. That is why Krishna is saying here, now this is one side, right? On the other side, you look at this way. What did Krishna do? All the gopis got attached to Krishna, isn't it? When they got so attached to Krishna, what did Krishna do? Krishna decided completely break all the connections with all the gopis and left them. That's what Krishna did. So you can see the difference between us and Krishna. We have, and this happens to us when separation happens in life, we get so affected by that, we can't live anymore. There's a lot of problems here, and it is very difficult to change that state. Because by then, what has happened is, whole life, this adhyasam that me and my wife together will be happy, the children have all got educated, they left home and gone, now only two of us, all our household responsibility is finished, all we have to do now, get our pension, go on holidays, and enjoy life. There is nothing else to do in life. We are happy together. And 24 hours together talking to each other. And feeling happy about that. While cooking, while eating, while sleeping, while walking, while shopping. Every time together like this. You will live like that. While going on like this. One day, Krishna says, one of you go. And when one goes, the other one is like, be like Puriravas. This is the truth of this world. Whether we like it or not, that is the reality. When that happens, Bhagavatam is telling us, Krishna also did the same thing with the gopis. Krishna got so attached to the gopis, gopis got so attached to Krishna. When Krishna noticed that they are very attached to Krishna, Krishna says, bye-bye. Gone. Is it not? That's what he did. If you look in the 10th canto, you will see, right in the middle of all that enjoyment, exciting happiness, Krishna says, goes away. So, and when Krishna realized that gopis got so attached and they were sitting there and they were crying, that is Goviya Geetam. Goviya Geetam is nothing but when that attachment was broken. When they got so attached, attachment was broken. That is the Goviya Geetam what you find. So, what has happened here? What happened here? They looked at Krishna and thought, Krishna is this form. That's where everything went wrong. isn't it? So they therefore they sent a letter through Uddhava. Krishna sent a letter through Uddhava to Gopis. You know the 47th chapter in the 10th canto is Krishna's letter, message. Krishna wrote a nice letter, sent it through Uddhava, and told Uddhava, go and deliver this letter to the Gopis. What was written in the letter? What did Krishna write in the letter? If you remember, the letter is there. If you look 10:47, Krishna's letter to the Gopis after leaving them. Tadasta Krishna Sandesher Vibheda Viraha Jvaraha Uddhavam Pujayam Chakru Jyatu Alpana Madhokshajam. Very important, 53. Sri Shuka Vaja Tamatadasta Krishna Sandesher Vibheda Viraha Jvaraha Viraha Jvaram. Suffering from that separation, the gopis were staying there together, Radharani and all the gopis. And Uddhava was sent with the letter. Uddhava delivered the letter, message to the gopis. And when they delivered the letter, Uddhavam Pujayam Chakru Nyatu Alpanam Adhokshajam. The message was that they offered worship to Uddhava, knowing what? Nyatvam Alpanam Adhokshajam. Knowing that Krishna is the Andaryami inside. Uvajagati Jinmasan Gobidam Vinadan Shusha Krishna Lila Katham Gayan Ramayam Asa Gogulam Yavandehani Nandasya Brajeval Sidsa Uddhava Prajoga Samshana Prayan Asan Krishna Sevartaya Saridvanagiri Dronir Vikshan Kusumidan Duman Krishnam Samsmarayan Samsmarayam Reme Haridasau Vrajaugasam. The message was delivered, and when they received the message, before that they were complaining about separation from Krishna. And Krishna's message, if you read from verse 29 in that chapter, Bhavad, I understand your separation, he says. Bhavadinam viyogomi nahi sarvalpmana kochil yada bhudayani bhutani bhudeshu kham vayu agni jalam mahi tadaham cha mana prana bhuda indriya guna ashraya almanyevalpmana alpmanam srijehan anupalaye Alma Mayanu Bhavena Bhude Indriya Gunalmana Alma Jnanamaya Shuddho Vedirikto Agunanvaya Sushupti Sopnam Jagradbi Maya Vritti Bhiriyate. That is the message. So, when gopis felt that, when gopis felt separation and Krishna left them, Krishna sent the message through Uddhava to the gopis, and this was the message, that Bhavadinyam Viyogame Nahi Sarvalpana Kochil Yada Bhudani Bhudeshukham Vayu Agni Jala Mahi. That give up this misunderstanding that I have left you. That was the message. I am your soul. I am your soul. I am your soul. And that soul which is you is Nityam, Shuddham, Buddham, Muktam. Eternal, pure, fully conscious, always liberated. And I am with you in all the three states. Vacant state, dream state, that's what he's saying there. Sushupti, Sapna, Jagrat, Maya, Vritti, Viriyate. Alma, Yanamayam, Shuddham, Vedriktam, Guna, Anvayam. Sushupti, Swapnam, Jagratbi, Maya Vrti Biriyade. So, even when these three states are present in you, I am still present inside you as your Andariyami, as a living force. And this truth, gopis had to accept it. That is how they came out of their depression. Up to that point, they saw Krishna as that form. You see? When the form disappeared, they felt separation. Therefore, Krishna sent that message to them. It is, don't trust that form in me, seeing that form. Actually, I am present in you every moment. That too in all the three states. Jagrat Swapna Sushuptimbi. Atmanyev Atman Atmanam Sraje Anupale Atma Maya Anubhavena Budendriya Guna Atmana. 30th verse. And there is no question of separation, because inside you, whom you are thinking separate from me, but I am not separate from you. We are feeling that we are separated from Krishna. Krishna is not feeling that we are separated from Krishna. We feel the separation. Krishna is not feeling that separation. So therefore, Krishna knows very well, it is because of that Krishna was able to leave the gopis and go like that. Because gopis felt that Krishna is separated from me. Why? All the focus was on the form. That is what has happened. That is what he is saying here also. That gopis had to learn this lesson in a very painful way. In a very painful way they had to learn this lesson. Because Krishna who is outside will leave you one day. It's not going to be permanent with you. But if you realize Krishna inside as the self, in that case, he will never leave you. He cannot leave you. He cannot leave you then. If you realize Krishna outside in a particular form, that form will leave you one day. But if you realize Krishna as the very self inside, that Krishna will never leave you, because you are that self which is inside. You are that. That awareness, what you are experiencing, is that Krishna's presence inside. Krishna's presence inside. That in it is only for this purpose, even it is in a very subtle level. Of course, this is not generally spoken. Why do we perform Shraddha ceremony? For what purpose? That you can see that, for example, father, mother, and husband, wife, lot of relationships we have in this world. Isn't it? And because of these connections with all these different members in the family, like parents, grandparents, children, grandchildren, all that, that there will be a certain pain due to them, because they will leave you one day. Either you will leave them and you will give pain to them, or they will leave you and they will give pain to you. The granddad, when he is leaving, he is thinking about the grandchildren. Who is going to look after them? I was taking him to school all the time. Now who is going to take him to the school next day? So the grandfather will thinking about the grandchild, because father mother is busy working, so they don't have the time. So granddad, grandmother has to do everything. So grandmother, grandfather also has to go one day. Then the grandchild is also feeling. So somehow or the other, in this setup called family, all these connections will build up. And due to that, when the separation happens, there will be pain. There is no question about that. So, what they have done, what the rishis have done, is that when they leave, everybody will feel that pain of separation, isn't it? So, therefore, the rishi says to us that see every one of them as a manifestation of Vishnu. Mahavishnu's manifestations or Krishna's manifestations. Knowing that Krishna's manifestations, knowing that it is the same Andaryami inside me who has come in that form, and if you relate with them in that way, then that separation will turn into knowledge. Do you understand? So, you see why Upanishads have put out all these relationships. In Shraddham and all that, this is a very subtle understanding of Shraddham. That means, you are looking at them, that those who have come in that body, in your particular time in your life, in different bodies, who had come and had made that relationship with you, they are also not different, that the same Antaryami who is inside you has come in a different bodies. If you develop that understanding, this pain of separation will turn into knowledge. That is the benefit. That is all Shardam is trying to, but we give importance to the rituals associated with that. We don't give importance to the knowledge behind it. That is the problem. We think that, oh, our grandfather is sitting somewhere waiting for our offering of these few balls of rice or wheat, whatever we have made. And if we give dakshina to the priest, we have done everything peacefully, you can go back now. That problem, headache is over. That's how we think about it. But that is not the subtle understanding of Shradham. Subtle understanding of Shradham is coming from this. That even while performing Shraddha ceremony, if you are feeling that separation from those who are very loved ones, whoever it may be, husband, wife, children, parents, whatever it may be, when Shraddha ceremony is performed, the understanding is that they were also expansions of the same Antaryami who is inside you. In that way, that viraham or separation that you have felt will turn into knowledge. Will turn into knowledge. Because everything is a force here at the end. So, in the same way, in all the injunctions that what the rishis have given us, particularly in the Upanishads and in the Puranas also you will see there, whatever emotions we have in this world, any emotion, doesn't matter, love or separation or hate or whatever it may be, if it makes the intensity get stronger, ultimately you bring it down and close it at this one understanding. This one understanding. This is the technique. Technique means that ultimately all emotions, when it peaks, eventually bring it and burn it in this knowledge that it is also coming from Antaryami. It's also coming from Antaryami inside. So, and that Antaryami is the truth, what Krishna is saying here. You see that? What Krishna mentioned there? Krishna said that, isn't it? Antaryami is the truth. If you look at that verse. That Mallakshanam imam kayam lebdhuam adharma mastida anandam param alpanam almastam samupeitimam. Almastam samupeitimam. That is the only truth. Almastam. That is the only truth. Everything else is, as far as Krishna is concerned, you are just playing with avidya. You are playing with avidya. Everything else is avidya. Almanam, parama, anandam, paramalpanam, almastam, samupaitimam. So, all the rituals and sacrifices and everything is ultimately to develop this understanding that whatever emotions these different relationships are creating in us, to turn all the relationships eventually in such a way that it develops into knowledge. Knowledge of the Antaryami inside. So, all different kinds of rituals and all other different practices in the Sanatana Dharma has come from this principle. The principle, ultimate principle is the truth is only Krishna, Antaryami inside. So now Urvashi has gone and Pururavas is crying. He started running after her and he says to her that it is not worthwhile living in this world without you. Pururavas is crying like this. Look at the verse, 9th verse. Aho me alma sammoho yena alma yoshidam kradaha kridamrgas chakravarti naradeva shikhamani. Aho me alma sammoho yena alma yoshidam kradaha kridamrgas chakravarti naradeva shikhamani. Naradeva shikhamani. That he says there, the king, Pururavas is a famous personality, the king, he says here, who am I? Naradeva Shikhamani means emperor. He was an emperor, isn't it? And what is my state now? I just become a toy in this lady's, in Urvashi's hand. I'm just like a toy. And I put myself into this situation. He says here, my life has been a total waste. I wasted my life. Puriravasi is saying there. And what am I doing now? I'm running after this Urvashi like a mad person. And how did this happen to me? Puriravasi is realizing, after a long period of sense gratification with Urvashi, one day some light developed inside that I have to think about self-realization. I wasted my life completely. And he says here, Karavat Pada Tadida. You'll see in the 11th verse. Karavat Pada Tadida. That those words are not very nice. Karavat Pada Tadida. Just like the asses or the donkeys, they don't fight with you from the front. If you go and fight with them, they will turn their back. And with their rear foot, they'll kick you. That's how they fight with you. Rear foot. Isn't it? So, and it's considered to be a she-ass or a donkey kicking you with the back foot. And you get kicked by that. I have come to that state, says Puriravas. And Kim Vidyaya, and this person, Puriravas, was highly educated in Shastram, highly knowledgeable, highly learned in the Shastram. Kim Vidyaya, Kim Tapasa, Kim Tyagena Shuvenava, Kim Viviktena Maunena, Srividyasa Manokhradam. What's the use of knowledge? What's the use of austerities? And what's the use of performing so much sacrifices? And what I've heard, Kim Viviktena Maunena, Srividyasa Manokhradam. If you are controlled by the whims of a woman. Now, it is not being spoken to anyway to speak ill of the woman. What it is saying here is, what can happen to the men can happen to the women. The other side also, both are true. But because here Puriravas is a man, it's talked in terms of as a woman. So you can see that a person may have a lot of knowledge. This particular thing, Kim Vidya, Kim, then in spiritual life, if you look, you will see it is a reality. This whole thing is a reality. Because some people, you can know this very well, highly learned in Shastram. And they are also very controlled in their senses and controlling the mind, everything. And they have done a lot in this world for others, sacrifice a lot. And character also, if you look at them, they have such a good character as well. In every way, they were very good in the spiritual field. They will sit alone and they had very sound, strong sadhana and everything. But somewhere inside the mind, some idea got inside that they got attracted somewhere to another form of a woman. A woman they got attracted to. If once a thought develops inside like that, then very soon, without a long time, long delay, he will fall. How many people this has happened? How many? Unbelievable it is. When they came to the spiritual life, they studied well, they had good knowledge of the Shastram, and they have given up all kind of good renunciation, detachment, knowledge, and given up all association with the sense enjoyment, good control of the mind. And if you look at them, you were amazed by seeing how steady they were in spiritual life. But somewhere inside, there was a thought of a form of another person inside. And that was sufficient for them to fall from their state. So, and that is what we call as the spiritual fall. In spiritually we call it as spiritual fall. Isn't it? Spiritual fall. Krishna recognizes that. It happens to everybody, many, many people. Many, many people, Krishna says there. That's why he says in the Bhagavad Gita, isn't it? Abhijayat sudhirajaro bhajadimam ananyabhag sadhureva samandavya samyam vasidohisa kshipram bhavadi dharmalma shashvat chandin nigachadi kaundaya pradijanihi name bhakta pranashyadi. Krishna is saying that you may fall, but at the end, he will be taken care of. But you can fall. That is not going to go away. You will fall. But what Krishna is promising is that Kaunteya pratijanihi name bhakta pranashyari. My devotee, Krishna is saying, ultimately I will give him shelter. That is what the guarantee in the Bhagavad Gita. But it doesn't mean that you will not fall. You can fall. If Pururavas can fall, Ajamila can fall, Jadavarada can fall, what chances have we got? Is it not? Remember Jadabharada, Bharata Yogishraya, he was a yogi who practiced spiritual life, Rishabhadev's son, had sufficient knowledge, sufficient training. In spite of all that, he fell, did he not? Because it was a fall for him to get a dear body. It's a fall, spiritual fall. It's called spiritual fall down. So if it can happen to Bharata Yogishraya, and then he had to come out of that and get another birth again as the son of that Brahmana, and then in that life he had been careful, so he managed to get out from that. So that has come to Bharata. Ajamila, what was lacking in him? Had good training, good birth, and good training, everything very good, but, and he was always absorbed in spiritual activities, but somewhere, due to seeing a certain scene in the forest, between that drunk person and the prostitute trying to enjoy together, the vasana which was lying inside Ajamila, somewhere in a deep corner inside, in his subtle body, came out. He fell. Ajamila fell. Is it not? So, Pururavas, the same thing happened to Pururavas. Pururavas got attracted to Urvashi. Pururavas had knowledge. Krishna says, it is based on Pururava's whole lunar dynasty has come. And Krishna has a lot of respect to Pururavas when he talks about. But this has happened in our family. Krishna is saying to Uddhava, Uddhava, this has happened in our family. Our great ancestor Pururavas, he fell. Spiritual fall. But later on, Pururavas realized the fact, what has happened to him. And thinking about that, he sang this song called Ailagidam. Isn't it? So it's 9:05. We'll have a short break now. Then we'll continue. Chedo darpanam arjanam omaha dava nirvavanam shreyakai dava chandriya vidaranam vidyavadu jivanam anandam budivardhanam pradivada purnamrada swadanam Sarvatna Savanam Varam Vijayade Shri Krishna Sangirtanam Namna Amadani Bhakuda Nijasarva Shakti Trapida Nimidas Marane Nakadam Eda Drishi Savakriba Bhagavan Mamami Nurdeva Midrishami Hajani Nanuragaham Tranaja Vishuni Jena Tarora Bisahishuna Amanina Manadena Kirtani Yasadahari Nathanam Najanam Nasundarim Kavidamba Jagadisha Kamai Mama Janmani Janmani Shari Bhavada Bhaktiragahidu Vitwai Ai Nanda Nanuja Kingaram Padinamam Shami Bhavambuda Krabayadava Bada Pangajasida Duli Sadrasham Mijindaya Nayanam Galadashudharaya Padanam Gadgadarudhaya Gira Pulagar Nijidam Gada Vabhutamanam Grani Bhavishadi Yugayidam Nimeshena Chachusha Pravishayidam Shunyayidam Jagat Sarvam Govinda Virahenami Ashlishava Padaradam Pinashtumam Adarshanam Armaharam Karyotuvam Yadhatadava Vidada Dulambado Malpranadadhastunayevanapara. Kim Vidyaya Kim Tapasa Kim Tyagena Shudenava Kim Viktena Maunena Sri Viryasamanokradam. 12th verse. So, that this fall, spiritual fall, as they call that, that is the truth. That will keep happening all the time. By saying all these things, the intention is not to, in any way, to speak badly or in a wrong way about women. That's not the idea. Here, is the Shastram speaking in an offensive manner about the women? No. That way you should not. The only thing is, if it is man, it is the woman. For the woman, the problem is the man. That's all it is. Problem is the man. So, either way, this, what Krishna is telling us, that if you do not take a proper understanding of this relationship, Krishna is not even saying anything against the householder life, grihastha ashram either. But grihastha ashramam is meant for this, at the end to get out from that. Is not to keep that connection forever. That is the mistake, that's where things go wrong. That this is heaven all the time being together and... But grihastha ashramam is to get out of this, that not to get attracted anymore, once again. Because spiritual life is not possible otherwise. So, generally you can see, husband and wife is married. In that case, that the man-woman thinking goes away a lot from the mind. It goes away, isn't it? As they say like this, up to the marriage it's all poetry. After that it is prose. You know what that means? After the marriage it is poetry. After that it is prose. So, up to that point there is, you can write poetry and all that, isn't it? After that, prarabdham. That's all it is. After that it's all prarabdham. You won't get any time to think about sex life after that. Because you'll be so busy with the shopping, paying the mortgage, this, that and the other, and survival becomes the whole issue. In that process, you will get out of a lot of trouble in life. So therefore, this story, Ailagidam, is specifically spoken for brahmacharis and sannyasis. Not for householders, of course, it has a intention to tell householder how one should live in the householder life. But by and large, it is mainly directed towards the brahmacharis and the sannyasis. Because they are the ones who are in serious trouble. They will sit alone. They will dress and all will be brahmachari. But inside the head, what's going through, who knows? Nobody knows about it, isn't it? So that is why it says like this. That some of the things what's mentioned in the Bhagavatam is like this. A sannyasi should not touch even the form of a woman which is made from wood. You can read it in the Saptamaskanda. It's there. If it is even made from wood, if it is a woman's form, a sannyasi should not even touch that with the feet. If he touches, it will cause problem for him. Cause problem for him, isn't it? So, Abhi dhanamayim, darumayim sriya. So, and bhikshu, it is in the seventh canto, while talking about the sannyasi dharmam, it is spoken like that. So, that is a decision sannyasi has to take. So, if it is all like this, what is spoken in the Bhagavadam, that you can imagine that Krishna's point is that just by putting the clothes on of a sannyasi or a brahmachari, you should not create disturbances in the society. That sannyasi dharmam, if you are not able to uphold, but you are a sannyasi danda, everything is fine. But inside your head, if the thoughts are about the enjoying other women or whatever that may be, then you are doing a great damage to the sannyasa dharmam. So that is why it is spoken like that in the Bhagavatam. So brahmacharis and sannyasis, even though they are alone, if these kinds of thoughts are coming into their mind, then their silence, their solitude, their austerities, their knowledge, their anushtanam or upasana is all waste. It's all waste. And that is what Krishna is saying in this Ailagida. Ailagida is for that purpose. You can see that verses. Swarthasya, 13th verse. Swarthasya kovidam dhingmam murgham panditamaninam yohamishwaradam prapya strebirgo kharavarjidaham sevado varshabhugan me urvashya atharasavam natrupya tyalma bhukamo vanirahudi viryatha pumshalya bhakadam chittam konvanyo mochidam prabhu alma rameshwaramrade bhagavandamathokshajam bodhidasya abidevyomi suktavakena durmade manogado mahamoho nabayatyajidal mana kimedaya nopakritam rajuava sarpache dasa rajaswarupa vidusho yoham yad ajitendriya kwayam malima sakkayo dorgadhyadhyalpago ashuchi kwa guna saumanasya adhya adhyasobi avidyayakrata Pitro kim somnu bhariyayam swamino agne ashwagradrayo swamino agne shwagradrayo. So when we see in the twilight, or when it's not bright enough, you saw a rope and you are misunderstood as a snake. Similarly, this body we have understood as the self at the moment. That's our present state. We have misunderstood this body as the self. That is, and how is that body? Kwayam malima sakayo dorgan dhyadhyal magosh ashuchi. That what is inside this body, Krishna is saying, in Prabodha Sudhagaram, Acharya Swami says there, it is covered very nicely with the skin. This whole body is covered very nicely with the skin. If the skin was not there, the crows, when they see this body, they'll come and bite us. They will bite us. They'll be flying all around us when they see this body, if this skin is not there. Because inside this, there is something which they want badly. Our flesh and the bone marrow, and they like to eat everything what is in this body. But because it is covered up nicely, packaged very well, by this skin, Brahma has done a good packaging, that crows are not coming to us. Crows are not coming to us. So you can see sometimes in the street or the roads, when the dog or the rabbit, when it's hit by the car, it's lying there, isn't it? So when it is hit and it's dead, all the animals will come to eat them, one after the other. And same thing, the same material, what is in that dead body is inside this body as well. The same blood, the same flesh, the same bones and the same marrow. Everything is the same thing. What is inside that dead dog's body or the animal's body, isn't it? And you can see that even if you don't take bath once, it starts smelling. And it has got 9 holes in this body. And through these 9, through these 9 holes, different things comes out, which is not very pleasant all the time. But due to avidya and due to the adhyasam, I have identified with this body and I am thinking I am this body. The Brahman has come. And it is keeping this body, Krishna is saying here, tasmin kalebare amedhye tuchanishte vishajade aho subhadram sunasam susmidam cha mukha sriya susmidam cha mukham sriya tum mamsa rudhirasnayu medo majja asti samhado vin mutra puye ramadam kriminam kedandaram. Krishna is saying here that like the in poetry and all, the poets will describe the beautiful eyes of the women, the beautiful ears, the beautiful nose, the beautiful smile, the teeth and their face. All these, the poets will describe in such a way, and you keep on reading all these things and feel great attraction for all that. But inside, what is the stuff? That is what Krishna is asking. Tasmin kalebare amidhe tuchanishte vishajade aho subhadram sunasam susmidam chamukham sriya. And when she smiles, immediately you are carried away by that, isn't it? So, purely it is nothing but a huge lump of flesh. Lump of flesh. And but even though we may know all these things, when you see that form, and when you see the smile, and when you see the eyelashes and movement of the eyes, people fall into that. So we feel that there is some truth in that. And then in the two verses, Tvam mamsa rudhirasnayu medha medho majja asti samhadav vinmutra puye ramadam kriminam kedandaram. Finally, Puriravā says to us his message. Adha vinoba sajjeda stri nustraineshu chalthavit vishayendriya samyogam manakshubhiri nanyatha adrishta shudad bhavanna bhavam upajayade asambrayunjada pran shamyadistimidam mana tasmal sango nakartavya strishu straineshu chandriyehi vidusham japi vishraddha shadvarga kimumadrisham. Three verses. 22, 23 and 24. So, we live this life, what was spoken up to that. But then, Ayala, Puriravas is saying to us, that never, he says, Tas adhabi nobasajeda. What? Strishu, straineshu, chatavit. Vishayendriya samyoga, manakshubhedi nanyada. That when this incident happened with Urvashi for Puriravas, and when he got out of that illusion, Brahmam, what he had from Urvashi, he is saying this. That never in life you should develop sangam with women as well as with those who are always talking about them. Straineshu means that. Straineshu means among men it is a normal thing to discuss about women. Associating with them is more dangerous than associating with women. About women, talking to, associating with women, so with men who discusses about women is more dangerous than even associating with women. Strishu, straineshu, chartavid. Why is that? Vishaya indriya samyogal manat shubhiri nanyatha. That simply by senses and sense objects, Vishaya indriya samyogal manas chubhyadi. Kshobham comes to the mind. Mind gets agitated. There is no other way the mind will get agitated. When the mind is agitated, means what? All other emotions will build up strongly. That means anger, hate, all other envy, pride, all kinds of things, lust, everything comes from kshobham. So, strineshu, strishu, straineshu, chartavit, vishaya indriya samyogal manakshubhyadi nanyatha. Vishayam and indriyam, due to their samyogam, that means sense objects and senses, if they come into contact with each other, mind will get agitated. Therefore, one should tasmal sango nakartavya. Puriravas is saying to us, when sangam means what? What does sangam means? Sangam means that is not saying that you should not have any feeling for other living beings. That's not what it is saying. Sangam means asakti. That is the word for that. Asakti means in your mind attachment has built up. That is dangerous. That is dangerous. If attachment is built up inside, that is dangerous. That is what Krishna is pointing out. You have to deal with, due to prarabdham, you get married. Some marriages happen in life. And you got to deal with that situation. Children are there, so you got to act like a husband, act like a father. But at the same time, Krishna is pointing out, adhabi noba sajjeda strishu straineshu chartavit vishaya indriya samyogal manakshubhidi nanyatha avdrishtar ashudad bhavan nabhava upajayade asam prayunjada pran shyamedi stimidam mana. Mind will get agitated and due to that problems will come. So then he is saying there, so due to this asakti or attachment that has built up, even highly learned people have fallen in their life. If it is like that, if this has happened to Pururavas, isn't it? So Pururavas is saying here that I'm sure he said, among you there are many who will be facing the same thing what has happened to me. Pururavas was a very great personality. He was such a great personality. Even Indra offers respect to him, to Pururavas, isn't it? Saying this, the king became very conscious of all this is happening. Why Pururavas says, because I didn't know my goal, what I was meant, I was living for. So you can see, as soon as you get deviated from your purpose of life, this can easily happen to anyone. So, and the king became very detached from everything. He came to his senses, in other words. So, and then he says there that many people bring up this point. Why shouldn't I fulfill all my desires first? That means I'll enjoy my life as much as I want. And when I'm fed up, I'll come to spiritual life. There is another argument like that, is it not? Loads of people say like this. When somebody is enjoying well in this world, if you tell them about spiritual life, first they will tolerate you, you will stop it. But if you don't stop it, if you go on pushing it, if you push too far, then the next thing they will tell you is, I will take to spiritual life, whatever you say may be true, but I'll take to it when I had enough of material life. Let me enjoy this life now. I got all this opportunity to enjoy. Let me enjoy it now. When I'm tired, then I'll come to spiritual life. This will be. But that is what he's saying here. That like in the fire, if you want to extinguish with ghee, that's not possible. You keep on pouring ghee to the fire, it'll start burning more. Similarly, you will never be able to fulfill all your desires and say that now you will take to Krishna consciousness. So that is why in Bhagavad Gita you will see Krishna saying, dharmam aviruddha bhudeshu kamosmi bharadarshava. Dharma aviruddha bhudeshu kamosmi bharadarshava. That only what you are allowed here is that you are allowed to execute or fulfill those desires which is not against religious principles. Dharma aviruddha bhudeshu. Those desires, without creating attachment and aversion, you should do it and finish with it. That's all you can do here. Dharma aviruddha bhudeshu kamosmi bharadarshabha. That is Krishna's statement. You know in the Bhagavad Gita, famous statement. People read that and they think that, oh, Krishna has allowed all sense gratification. Really, they don't understand where it's coming from. It's coming from this. This is the background of that. What Krishna is saying to us is that well, first of all, only that kamam is allowed, sense gratification is allowed, which is not against the religious principles. So those desires you can fulfill, but that too without any ragam, without any dvesham, without any attachment, without any aversion. You should perform that and finish it. That's all. And you should never give any place for any desire which is not allowed based on dharma. And that kind of desires should be removed and taken out from inside through knowledge of the self, yoga practices, and through sadhana. In this way, it should be taken out. And that is why if you look into Bhagavad Gita, you will see a verse there. Prajahadi yada kaman. See that, how Krishna connects that with the kamam later. If you look into the second chapter, you will see that verse. Prajahadi yada kaman sarvan partha manogadan. Yes. Prajahadi yada kaman sarvan. Only that kamam is allowed, not any kamam. Prajahadi yada kaman sarvan partha manogadan. 55. Altmanye valtmana tushta. Stida prajna stadochade. Krishna is saying here, this verse 255, you should connect with the other one, Dharma viruddha bhudeshu kamosmi, which is seven eleven. So in one side Krishna is saying Dharma aviruddha bhudeshu kamosmi paradarshava. That sense gratification, that kamam, which is not against the principles of religion, that is allowed. But even while performing them, that means householder life, all that is allowed, but even while living in that householder life, it should be done in such a way that it does not create attachment and aversion. No ragadvesham there, right? Dharma aviruddha bodeshu kamosmi bharadarshava. And then Krishna is saying that all kamam, prajahadi yada kaman sarvan partha manogadan, and altmanya altmana tushta stida prajna tadochade. When a man gives up all varieties of desire for sense gratification, which arise from mental concoction, and when his mind thus purified, finds satisfaction in the self alone, then he is said to be in pure transcendental consciousness. So you can understand that word 711 through 255 and 255 through 711. They are so closely connected. That is an important point there. So prajahadi, so giving up all the desires eventually from inside and to be established in the self, in the Swarupam or one's own identity, then what does Krishna say is Altmanyeva Altmana Tushta. Being totally situated in the platform of the soul, totally identifying with the self there. And that person who is situated in that way, he is called as Sthitapratnya. Sthitapratnya is that. So that is Krishna's definition. So, and he mentions there also that just like the all the desires are like this. Even any desires coming in, like the rivers are flowing and eventually ends, all the rivers ends up in the ocean. Similarly, all desires which is coming to him afterwards will go and eventually hit there and it will disappear there. Like the rivers go and dissolve itself in the ocean. And he will not run. That's what he said there. Altmanyeva altmana tushta. He is situated in the self, he is satisfied with that. Therefore, is saying like this, that tado dulsangam ulsrijya salsu sajeda buddhiman sanda eda sechindandi mano vyasanga mukti bhi. Ayala is saying there, he is giving a advice to the whole world. He says to him that I was a great personality once, a great emperor, isn't it? And finally, after all that, I fell into this illusion of enjoying with Urvashi. And I got attached to her. And I lost everything. And what was the reason behind that? Because I fell into this illusion that there is happiness there. That was called, which, remember, Krishna is saying the same thing again. Pashya Vaigalpigam Brahmam. He mentioned before. Alma Agrahana Nurbhadam Pashya Vaigalpigam Brahmam. Before Bhikshugita he said this. That if you are not situated in the platform of the soul, if you are not conscious of your own existence, awareness, avabodham, in that case, alma agrahanam, then what will happen? Pashya vaigalpigam brahmam. Vigalpam will come and will fall into this illusion. So that is why he is saying like that. Tatha dusangam uchyate. Dusangam, he says there, sandha yadasa chindandi mano vyasanga mukti bi. Mano vyasanga mukti bi. So for that he is saying there that one thing, that tado dursangam ulsrajya, always avoid association with dusangam, with people who have, dusangam means association with people who are identifying with the body and who are trying to extract pleasure from this body. Association with them, keep away. That is the message. Tado dusangam. And dusangam means that attraction to many things in this world, isn't it? And that means once you get an attraction for something, then you will feel that I want to acquire that in life. That's how it is. Once you get attracted to anything in this world, the next thing will be that you want to possess that. Possess that. And in order to, therefore he is saying there, that sasu salsu sajeda buddhiman sanda edasa chindandi mano vyasanga mukti bi. Mano vyasanga mukti bi. For some, and these days it is particularly very difficult, these things, because you can see at home there is television, there is computer, then even small children, you can see how they are exposed to all these things, isn't it? And you can see the whole thing is put it in such a way, in a lot, everything in a small mobile you have got. Isn't it? Access to the whole garbage in the world is access in a mobile phone today. And the latest, and small children have got all these things in their hand. And it is very easy. That means the whole magic of this whole system is in this mobile phone. How much garbage is in that mobile phone? Isn't it? Anything you want, it's there. Is there. So if you have some bad vasana inside, doesn't matter even if it's small children, they can be easily taken away by this tool they have got, isn't it? So you can see more or less they are entering into a world of magic. They are born. 50-60 years ago we didn't have any of these things. But now when a child is born, this is what he gets first thing. One of the latest mobile phones. So you can see all the movies are available. If you want to watch a movie, you can watch in the mobile. All kinds of music you can enjoy. All kinds of rubbish things, what one should not see, is also there. Isn't it? So, and then we feel, oh, we are making progress, isn't it? We have got internet, outer net, all kinds of net. We have developed, and then everything is network now. Networking, net. In that, and how much it has taken us in, driven into this world, isn't it? So that is why, generally, in Vedantam they say, the world is like a cobweb. World is like a cobweb, because, and the mind is a spider. World is like a cobweb, and the mind is a spider. And the spider is in this cobweb. So the name is very appropriate. WWW is very correct. It's like a web. You get inside, you won't come out. You will go on with it for the rest of the, for the life, isn't it? I don't know who got this idea from. So in the Upanishads, it's also spoken. Edo urnanabir srajade. Urnanabhi means this spider. How the spider creates that net around him. Similarly, internet is like that. You get inside, Google will Google, and now they are looking for a guru through Google. They're Googling too. If you want a guru, you Google it. It has come to that now. So, And the Google will tell you all these gurus are available straight away in one lot. And you can choose that, isn't it? So, so this spider, that Upanishad also uses the same thing. That spider and the net. It is woven. It's the same way internet is. It works. Idu urnanavir srajade yatha prithivya maushadaya vishwam. So, Akshara Purusha, as Krishna says in the 15th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, that Antaryami is inside everyone. We are making this web around that Antaryami. We are building that. And sometimes this spider will get caught up in the web itself, isn't it? And that when it gets caught up in the web outside, that web is called Maya. Isn't it? When you start Googling, when you go into internet, and then internet is taking you this way, that way, so many things, it will tell you things you never thought about, you start thinking, oh, I found this in the net, I found that in the net. So let me try this one, let me try that one. This is how net works, isn't it? The more you get absorbed, eventually you will notice 3-4 hours have gone of your time in that way. And instead of going, like the spider should go to the core, which is the Antaryami, you are weaving this net around this Antaryami. But instead of going to Antaryami, you have got caught up in the nets itself. And getting caught up in the net is called Maya. It's called Maya. That means you have created the net yourself and you got caught up in the net yourself. What is the way to escape from this net? The only way, Krishna is saying, is satsangam. Like here, he says, sangam na kuryad asatam. If you want to come out of asatsangam, the only possibility is through satsangam, satsangam. If you look into Srimad Bhagavatam, we said this before also, we talked about this, that in Srimad Bhagavatam, which sadhana is given the highest priority? You can notice that. Not meditation, not dhyanam, not sacrifices, but not even holy name. Highest priority is for satsangam. Is for satsangam. You can see, I can give you, you can look at yourself when you have time. If you list yourself, who all spoke about satsangam in the Bhagavatam? Beginning with Narada Maharshi himself in the 5th chapter. That is the beginning of satsangam. Narada Maharshi had satsangam with the rishis, and the result was that he turned from his state of consciousness, he became a devotee from that. Narada Maharshi's change. Krishna talks about satsangam here, and one whole chapter in the Ekadasham, 12th chapter. Totally about satsangam. Krishna talks about satsangam, Narada Maharshi talks about satsangam. Dhruvastuti, if you study Dhruvastuti, 2 verses in the Dhruvastuti is all about satsangam. If you study Prahladastuti, 1 whole verse about Prahladastuti is about satsangam. If you study Ambarish Maharaj, prayers to Krishna, all about satsangam. If you study Vritrasura's prayers, all about satsangam. If you study Akrura's Stuti, part of it is about satsangam. If you study Gajendra's Stuti, it's about satsangam. If you study Gopika Geetam and the Gopi's eventual statements to Krishna, it's about satsangam. Uddhava, while leaving Krishna, says to Krishna, satsangam. In this way, throughout Bhagavatam, there is only one thing that will protect us in this world. It is always what Krishna is saying here, is this satsangam. That dusangam is very difficult to give up in this world today. In the current modern world, it is very difficult to give up the dusangam. But as much as possible, you should refrain, stay away from the dusangam. That is why when Krishna is saying here, Sangam na kuryada sadam, Shishnodara drupam kochil, Pasyanugamastamasyandhe, Padatyandhanu gandhaval.
So, why does he say like this? Because if you look into, later on, Krishna is saying this, that Ayla or Pururavas came to this realization, that Bhaktim Labdhavada Sadho Kimanya Davashishade Mai Ananda Gune Brahmani Anandam Anubhavatmani Taye Shranandi Gayandi Anumodandi Chadrada Malpara Shraddhadhanascha Bhaktim Vindadide Mai Bhaktim Labdhavada Sadho Kimanya Davashishade Mai Ananda Gune Brahman Ananda Anubhavatmani Anubhavatmani. Then Krishna is saying, after 26, you can see, 27th verse, Krishna is saying that if you want to associate, associate in Salsangam. Don't associate with Dusangam. Don't develop Dusangam. And he says, Sando, Anabeksha, Machita, Prashanda, Samadarshinaha, Nirmamo, Nirahangara, Nurdundo, Nishparigrahaha, Tesho Nityam Mahabhaga, Mahabhageshu Malkada Sambhavandi Hidwa Nranam Jushadam Prabhunandyakam. So anything that damages the mind, anything that destroys the mind, and or that bring the wrong suggestions inside, or whichever that gives a hint that it is going to damage my mind, such things we should have to keep away from that. And what else? Once it so happened, a spiritual master blessed his disciple. What did he bless him? He says to him, you become deaf and blind, he said. Become deaf and blind. So, what does that mean? What he's saying to him is, that in this world, a lot of things will be going on. Never look at them. And at the same time, don't lend your ears to hear things, what's going on in this world. So both the things, that's what he said to him, that's what he meant basically, that don't allow the eyes and the ears to go into the world, to associate with the world. Therefore, you become deaf, blind and deaf. So, so this is a yoga process. Not collecting garbage from the world. It's a yoga system. That means, and it's a very essential yoga system. Why? Because generally, we all want to collect information. Isn't it? Collect information. And we say, if you know a lot of things in this world, oh, he is very knowledgeable, we say. But all the knowledge is garbage, what he has collected. So what's the use of that knowledge? So, therefore, like the way we are inquisitive to collect the knowledge and store it inside, we also have to know how to download everything and not to collect the garbage. That is a higher knowledge. By not collecting this garbage from the world, that knowledge is required. How not to collect the knowledge. Because this collecting knowledge from the world outside is the greatest damage. What for us in spiritual life? This is all coming from the spiritual point of view, not for your material development. Material development others may be necessary. But from spiritual side, Krishna is saying here that unless you learn this technique of not collecting the garbage from the outside world, and unless you learn how to download everything what you have already collected to get rid of that from inside, spiritual advancement is not possible. Spiritual advancement is not possible. These two things cannot work together. That is the important principle. So, once you have known something, either it will go through the eyes inside or it will go through the ears inside. Isn't it? Once these things have gone inside, what happens? A conference will go on inside. Conference goes on inside. Isn't it? And then some decisions will be made in the conference inside. It's all happening all the time. Happening inside. That conference should not happen inside. If the conference happens inside, then what will happen is, that's what has come through this.
you have to keep looking that through the eyes and the ears. These are the two things, two outlets or through windows through which this information gets in. Eyes and the ears, isn't it? So then once the conference is started there, you have to realize that this information that is being fed inside through the eyes and the ears, they should not create any conflict inside. If you look at our own life, this is what it's all about, isn't it? You can see from this how one has to be alert and conscious about this world while living here. That so-called knowledge we are saying, and we keep on collecting all the garbage as much as possible. One bin is not sufficient. 10 bins you need inside for all the garbage you have brought it inside. And all this garbage that has gone inside, there will be naturally conference inside. Once the conference happens there will be some conflict inside. Once the conflict comes, it is very, very difficult. So, best thing is not to know about it. Not to know about it. You have to live in this world. I don't know anything about it. I don't want to know about it. That is, you have decided your goal is something different than all this. If you have decided that goal, what it is, then you can do that. Otherwise, it's not possible. Once you have known your goal, and once you have known your route, and once you have entered into that, you should not enter into anything else which is not connected with the self-realization, knowledge of the self. Because, you remember in Mahabharata war, they were what they call as Padmavyuham. Remember that day they killed Abhimanyu by building this Padmavyuham. The beauty of this Padmavyuham is, Dronacharyas and others, Jayadrath and all, deliberately created this Padmavyuham and put our man Abhimanyu into that. To break away, that is very, very difficult. And Krishna and Arjuna had to try very hard to break that next day. So this thing, everything in this world is like this Padmavyuham, what we are building around us. If it is gone inside, then it will not go out easily. It will stay inside. That's the problem. It will not go. So, therefore, what happens? New karma will build up. New sense objects will come inside. New relationships will build up. And fresh ideas and fresh projects and fresh thoughts will come inside. And one has to learn how not to get caught up in all that thing. And that is why Krishna is saying here, that Ajnana Yoga means that Ajnanam that you are building up inside in this way, that develops into your own, you create your own hell from that. So, depending on how we use our mind, certain things in this world you should not even look at it, and you shouldn't even know about it. And when it comes inside, you have to know when to pull the shutter inside. And that is why, only thing is, it should not get inside and create disturbance inside. And it should flow through, and things will be better. And when we talk about all these things, people, when they hear all these things, they feel that, oh, that is interesting. They will say like this, that's interesting. But so many things, once it gets inside, it is very difficult to get it out from inside. So that is why here in this world you can see so many things to take our attention away, isn't it? Long ago, there was only newspaper. Then radio came. Then television came. Then internet came. Then mobile phone came. And still research is going on how to add more into it. That means avidya is growing. That's what it means basically. If this avidya keeps growing inside, where is the possibility? Where is the possibility of inquiring about the self? You have come to this world, you had everything, you had newspaper, You had all the newspapers you have read 40, 50, 60 years. You have heard all the programs in the radio, television, and then you have googled and searched everything in the internet, and now on your mobile phone also you are occupied with various other things. So question here is that where will this end? Where will this end? So sometimes you may sound very not conscious of everything what is going on in the world if you cut off from this world. Sometimes you can see when you go somewhere, people tell you something which you have not heard about, but it has already happened, some big thing has happened. And you are not aware of that because you didn't read the newspaper or you didn't watch the news. So something somewhere in the happening in the world, people tell you and they'll ask you, oh, you didn't hear about that? What has happened? People say like that. But there is nothing that you have lost by not knowing about it. Actually, that is the important thing in today's world, what we have to learn. In today's world, more than knowing other things, how to learn not to know things. Because if you know things, it's all against negative for your spiritual culture or spiritual life. Spiritual life, it is a problem. So many instances you can see that you hear about some disasters in this world. War, earthquake and floods and this and that. So you are not aware of that, but it's such a serious thing. Fundraising is going on, people are asking money and all that thing. And what can you do about all these things? You can't do anything about it, isn't it? So if something happened right in front of you, you can help something. But something happened thousands of miles away, somewhere in this world, what can be done? And it is no point in becoming emotional about it. So if you can do something here, it's fine. But real compassion is instantaneous action. Many things, if you don't know about it in this world, you are not going to, nothing is going to happen here. Nothing is going to happen here. Only that much what is required to live your life in this world, only that much you should know. That is a principle. In spiritual life, that's a principle. That much what is required to live your life in this world, only that much you need to know. Other things I don't need to know. It is not important, because the thing what you have to know is the soul, not all the other things. That as much as you need to know things, that much you also don't need to know things. Both. Knowing things is not everything. Not knowing things is more powerful than knowing things. We don't know the secret behind it. If you don't know things, you are stronger. All these things what you say you know, is only weakening you, because it goes inside, create a lot of emotions and conflicts inside, and it weaken you and it goes away. Not knowing things, you are stronger. You are not stronger than that. So, so that is this principle. What Krishna is saying here, that no Atma, don't want to know anything about Anatma. Anatma means non-self. Anything not, it is not the self. So, forgetting this Anatma is a yoga process. But forgetting everything Anatma like that, in that way, ultimately, you have to forget about your own body. So, and that thing called Ahankaram inside, or personality inside. That is when you get yourself freed from this bodily identity. Initially, you have to forget all other things. After forgetting everything, ultimately you forget your own body, and that connection has to be broken. And that connection means that this thing called personality inside, vyaktitvam, personality, that personality also has to be forgotten. Ahankara vismaranam, says Vidyaranya Swamiji. If you look into Panchadashi, Vidyaranya Swamiji mentions this, Ahankaram Vismaranam. So the yogi, Krishna is saying here, one who is realizing the truth, what happens to him? This Sadashiva Brahmendra's book, he lived a life like that, like Rama Maharshi. He lived a life, Sadashiv Brahmendra was so advanced that he was not even conscious of his body. When the Nawab cut off his hand, he didn't know that the part of the body has gone away. It was only then the Nawab realized that this is a great personality. He takes the piece of hand, what was fallen, and take it back to him. He takes it and puts it back onto his hand, and it joins back. To that extent, he was outside the body. His famous Kriti in the Vedantam is one of the, what do you call, the top notch in the modern world, if you say that. But whatever it is, that he says there, that Alpa Vijaram, that once you have established on that platform of the soul and the connection with the body is completely broken, then he is able to see that even the minute thing, what is happening inside, he is conscious of. When every thought wave is coming inside, he is asking, who is receiving, where is this thought wave coming from? And it will immediately see that it doesn't grow further there. For us, once a thought comes in, what happens? It creates another 100 thoughts from that, isn't it? And the whole mind is occupied, busy with this discussion about this thought that has come in, based on that. See, some incident happens, it comes in, and then creates hundreds of thoughts, and then it all becomes chaos inside. You start analyzing it, and how to solve the problem, and it becomes your problem, and then you become occupied with that. It never goes away. It disturbs you. So, here, for a self-realized soul, what happens? Anytime any thoughts comes in, because he is not entertaining that thought, the thought will come and gets dissolved in the self. That is called Ahanda Vismarana Yoga. Vidyarani Swamiji calls it as Ahanda Vismarana Yoga. So therefore Krishna is saying here, in all circumstances, give up the dusangam, bad association. That not only one should give up dusangam, but you should have very strong satsangam. Both are required. One should avoid the dusangam and should have very strong satsangam. Very strong satsangam. Because without some energy, we cannot live here in this world. Just like people say this, mass psychology. Isn't it? Mass psychology. That is the truth. That suppose there is a group of people, there is an impact of that group together, mass psychology. And that is the truth also, that even when you come to spiritual life, you can see this, that you are only happy if you have some other people also with you who are doing the same thing like you. On alone it is very difficult. In spiritual life also. Whereas if you have some other people who are doing exactly like you, you feel some strength from that. That is why the strength of the satsangam. That then suppose you have to do everything on your own all the time. That's very difficult. It's quite tough. Isn't it? Nobody is interested in your spiritual life. And everybody leaves you to yourself. And then you are living on your own and trying to practice spiritual life, that becomes very difficult. So that is why Krishna is saying here, dusangam you should avoid under all circumstances, but salsangam, powerful salsangam, is also necessary to keep you on the track. So that is why sometimes when we are in the spiritual life, because people who are interested in spiritual life is very few people. So, outside world, they will look at you and say, oh, this is a bunch of Hare Krishnas or crazy lot. Don't know what they are doing, but they don't understand anything. But it is nice to be with the crazy lot. Why? Because you are also one of them. Isn't it? To be crazy like this, you need that craziness around. It helps that way. This satsangam also, artificially you shouldn't try to create that. Krishna has to offer that to us. When we are ready for that, it will come. So, and to remain in that satsangam, that's what he's saying here, that Satsu sajjena buddhiman. See there. Tado dusangam ulsrijya. How Krishna worded that. Have a look at that. It's very nice.
Tato dusangam ulsrajya. 26. Verse 26.
Give up dusangam completely. But salsu sajjeda buddhiman.
Intelligent person should stick to satsangam, he says. Like you, magnet sticks to something, metal. You should stick like that to satsangam.
Says. Satsu sajjeda buddhiman. Sanda edasya chindandi mano vyasanga mukti bhi, he says.
And of course, satsangam with great personalities, great rishis, or highly advanced, spiritually developed people, their association is important, particularly in the householder life, in the householder life. And one constantly receiving that association, it will encourage us, enthuse us in our life, householder life in this world. That is the Krishna's point there. That's how he concludes that.
Yathovashrayamanasya bhagavandam vibhavasam shidam bhayam tamopyedi sadhun samsevatastatha nimajya unmajyadam khore bhavabdo paramayanam sando brahmavida shando naur dhradevapsu majyadam annam hi praninam pranam arthanam sharanam tuham dharmo vitamranam pretya sandor va vibhyadoranam sando dishandi chakshum shi bahirarka samuttida devada bhandava sanda sanda malpahamevaja vaidasena sadopyeva urvashyalogana spraha mukta sango mahimedam atmarama chacharaha atmarama chacharaha says
Krishna about Pururavas. Says Krishna about the Pururavas. So, what did Krishna say there? After talking about Pururavas, Krishna had only this one thing to say. That this example of Pururavas in the Bhagavatam, there is another personality in the Bhagavatam in the same way, who fell down due to same in the ninth canto, Saubhari. Saubhari. Saubhari, these are all not ordinary people. They are not ordinary people. Very, very powerful personalities. This has happened to them. So, if they can fall, we can easily become victimized by that. Is it not? And Saubhari Gita, it is called in the Bhagavatam, Saubhari Gita in the ninth canto. What did Saubhari had to say? I fell. Like Pururavas is saying, Saubhari also says the same thing. So, like this in the Bhagavatam, these are all history of those who fell in their spiritual life. Ajamila fell. Is it not? Ajamila fell. How? Similar way. Pururavas got captivated by Urvashi. Ajamila got captivated by the prostitute in the forest. Whatever it may be, what they are telling us is, if you are not careful in spiritual life, you can fall. That is the important message. So anyway, ultimately Krishna is saying to us, solution to this problem, if you don't want, because once you fall, the problem is this. To get back again, it's not easy. It's not easy. Once you have fallen in your spiritual life, to get back to Krishna consciousness again, it is hard. But if it's always fallen, then it's not a problem. But if you are developing Krishna consciousness seriously, and if you are trying to advance in the path of spiritual life, and if you are taking Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam seriously, and if you are developing a consciousness like that, and if you fall from that, to get it back again, it is tough. It is tough. You never know when that will happen again. How many people we have seen this happening? They try and they hard, they know what has happened is wrong, but then, by then the mind has gone too far into the world outside. So it is a difficult thing, that is why. So therefore Krishna says that if you don't want that to happen, that you don't want to go away from spiritual life, all time guard yourself from bad association, dusangam. That alone is not sufficient. You should keep strong satsangam. Strong satsangam
and strong avoidance of dusangam, that will protect a person from fall. From a fall. This is the way Krishna finished that chapter. Now, before we go into that last 28th chapter, so people will say these things, that when you take to spiritual life, when you have no material ambitions anymore, material desires, material ambitions anymore, people will say, what's the point in living like this? What are you gaining from this life? That all you are looking for is some prasadam on time and a place to sleep. There's no other higher goals in life. And people will definitely make life difficult. For example, if you go to certain places, even today, like Haridwar or Hrishikesh, Tirunamalai, and all these places, there are many places where you can get food without working. Haridwar, I believe, something like 100-150 places every day, prasadam is given free. Only thing, you have to live there and find out where it is. It may not be a feast everywhere, but it will be the minimum food what you need to sustain this body. Hrishikesh also, a lot of people freely distribute prasadam there. So, while one sannyasi said this, he said, he came to Hrishikesh, this happened, that he came there, he came probably from Delhi, he came, a businessman, rich businessman. He saw all these people queuing up for prasadam. And he says, why all these people here like this? Why don't they do something? That these people are just a parasite in the society. Just a parasite in the society. They're not willing to work. And they're all staying here looking for being fed by others. Isn't it? So this sannyasi, he came to see this sannyasi. When he was saying this to this sannyasi, sannyasi told him that if they all come to Delhi with you, what will happen? You will have more competition there, first thing. Suppose this person who had come, he was doing his business, and suppose you get a competitor, and at least they are staying away from your field. So why don't you leave them alone? Why you worry about them? These people, they are just happy. You give them a few puris and halwa, or puri and sabji. They will eat that and they will sleep somewhere. They are not giving you any trouble. They are just lying down somewhere in the riverbank or in some ashram or some temple somewhere. They will be satisfied with little bit of prasadam. They will take that and they will sleep and they will live their life. They are not competing with anybody in this world. Isn't it? And can anybody do a better service than that to this world? Because they take the very minimum from this world and live like that. Actually, those who are taking the maximum from this world, they are the dacoits and thieves. Dacoits and thieves here. And therefore, they are the, to call them as parasites is a wrong thing. He told this man who came from there. These people, they are satisfied with little food what they get every day. And you can see this. When you go in places like Haridwar, in Vrindavanam also, sometimes we are little bit alert and you can see even little places, totally unimportant. Sadhus and sannyasis, when they get an opportunity, they are discussing having salsangam together. They are having salsangam together. Why is like that? Because instead of getting absorbed in the, people are coming from outside and they're thinking that, oh, these people, what are they doing? They're not doing anything. Simply sitting there waiting for the food. No, some of them have decided that there is no point in going on accumulating in this world. They have realized the importance of saving the time for themselves and they are able to discuss very important topics in their life lying on the roadside. And when you see that, they lying on the road and talking to each other about something related to Krishna consciousness, you get the feeling they are making fun of you. They are actually making fun of you. You have worked hard, earned a lot of money, and then you are coming there with the idea that you are going to have some spiritual life. But inside you, it is full of garbage. And these are the people. So, this simplicity what you find in them, you won't find that in the aristocratic society. If you carefully look at them, the rich people, very aristocratic, they have got big name, big fame, big houses, big cars they drive, and their spiritual life is not, you cannot even compare that with the spiritual life of these innocent. Innocent means who have given up these things from the world and who live a life like this in places like that. You will never be able to compare these two. The aristocrats, rich men, they are with their wealth, they also have come some kind of spiritual life. What spiritual life is that? What spiritual life is that? So that means that you can know this sophisticated society, what you find there, practically they are all sick. The whole sophisticated society is nothing but a society which is totally sick. Totally sick. Because they have got all the facilities in life, they have built big, big houses, but only thing is, if you look at their faces, they have got all the problems of this world on their head. You go and you see in these places, and most of the holy places, even today, you can see this, even today, that there are people who are living there with so little they are able to live their life. You look at their faces and look at that shanti and the peace inside them. How come these people who with all their wealth, with all their big houses and big cars and big positions, and you look at their faces, why do you find that they are in so much stress? So much stressed out. Why? Why is that? So that is one important thing here. That what is important, we should look at them. The reason is that if you look at them, you will get some strength from them. You will get some strength from them. Because the most of the other people, the rich people, their problems, only thing is we don't know about what is going on. We only see the posh cars they drive, the big houses they live. What goes on inside that house, you don't know. You don't know that there is no peace inside. That, but if seeing them, it only will disturb you. Instead, you see the sadhus when you go there, then you will get some strength from that. Why is that? What strength you will get? You will also realize one thing, that you can live in this world with so little. This realization you will get from them. Is that not a strength in life? That you are getting that, you will not get that strength from this other side. On the other side. Why? This is the importance. This is why going to these places, so many places like this, all over you will find those who have realized this, that we need only this much in life. Why should I be got caught up in this mess, in this world, who are withdrawn from this? And when you see the way they live, they can sit anywhere, they can sleep anywhere, and they are totally satisfied with whatever food has just come to them in that way. So, and this community of devotees, sadhus, or jnanis, or yogis, if this whole community disappears from this world, then we are going to lose a big thing. They are the people who give some strength to live in this world. These rich people, except they develop greed in your mind, what else have they done good to this world? They will share their greed with you. That whatever greed they have created within themselves, they will inject that greed into others by showing their material opulences. They are not an example in spiritual life. The example in spiritual life is the sadhus who have completely pulled out of this. And not all of them has come to this due to poverty. You must remember that also. Some of them have selected that and came to it. But you can't say that everyone is a beggar there. That's how we generally think like that. We go there with our business class flight. We get the taxi. We go there and we think that they're all sitting there to beg from us. Isn't it? So this is our way of analysis. It is not true. They are not come there because of that. then some of those people, their sannyasis, you can see this in Haridwar, in Rishikesh, in Vrindavanam, in Banaras, in Tiruvannamalai, in Tirthani, and so many places you will see this kind of people living their rest of their life in this way, totally. They are inspiration to us. They are our inspirations. Not all these big men who had 10 channels going through their spiritual life and preaching. What good is going to do that? But so, anyway, so it is a different world altogether. And so, Sarvasanga Parityagi. Like you remember about Jadabharata, it was spoken. Sarvasanga Parityagi means totally one who has given up the connection with the world. When you see them, you get strength from them. In the householder life, what is the problem? All the time there is only one thing. What's that? Money. Isn't it? Householder life, that's the only one we are concerned about. Money is the thing that is driving. So, we are always talking about that. That will become the topic of discussion. They are not discussing that. The sadhu. Sadhu is not discussing how much is my income, isn't it? And because of this income, it creates a lot of stress inside. And at the same time, only one day, probably there are people with 50 pence or less than a pound, what they got as a given to them by those who have come see them, and bhiksha, they have received that, and they are suddenly totally satisfied and living in this world. So Krishna has put all these people in front of us. Look at them, Krishna is saying to us. Krishna is saying, you are telling me that it is not possible to live without all these things. Krishna has deliberately put all these things in front of us to see that it is not true, what we are saying. What is happening is, because of our greed, what has been injected into our head due to our own dusangam, bad association, that is growing inside, and we are finding it difficult to cope with that. That is the truth. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. We'll discuss it tomorrow.